जय मनुष्यपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शैल प्रभुपाद की जय त्रिलीला प्रविष्ट पशुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शैल प्रभुपाद की आनंद गौरी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम गुंड राधा गुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरगिरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की इंदुमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की और प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली गॉडेस ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली गॉडेस ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली गॉडेस ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य निशतारिणी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीदाङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो मम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोऽन्वयादितरदश्चाप्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वायुमदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा ताम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकं सत्यं वरं धीमहि पूज्यतकैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वासवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यनेत्र हृदिभिः शिशोषुभिः तल्क्षणाल्पतरोर्गलितं बलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं विपदभागवतं रसमालयं मुरहोरसियापविभावुकाः चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहगादरमाजुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरमोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिथिदीर्षदां गमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्यासशूनं वयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते करवेणुकुणिदाकृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारेर्मधुरिं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం ఆదరేణమభీష్ట యాసాం హైగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీ చరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయలే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమందిరాధికారియే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన కృతిదాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం. అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతీ అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వా మనసం దదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ. నమోస్తు వ్యాసవిశాలబుద్ధి పుల్లారవిందాయతపత్రనేత్రాం యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప. ప్రపన్న వారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక పాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదోగామో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందనాం పార్థోవత్ససుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదే వసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. ష్మద్రోణతడాజయద్రుతజల గాంధారనీలోల్పన శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ మహనీ కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవై రణనది కైవర్తక కేశవ. మారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగజసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాభోధినం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః వీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణింద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యై సవై వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదై గాయంతి యం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. విశ్వం దర్పణ దృశ్యమాన నగరీ తుల్యం నిజాంతర్గతం పశ్యన్నాత్మని మాయయా బహిరివోద్భూతం యథా నిద్రయా. యస్ సాక్షాత్ కురుదే ప్రబోధ సమయే స్వాత్మానమేవాద్వయం తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమూర్తయే నమైదం శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తయే. బీజస్సాంతరివాంగురో జగదిదం ప్రాం నిర్వికల్పం పునర్ మాయాకల్పిత దేశకాల కలన వైచిత్ర చిత్రీకృతం. మాయావీవ విజృంభయ త్రివి మహాయోగీయ యోగీవయ స్వేచ్ఛయా తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమూర్తయే నమయిదం శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తయే. యస్యైవ స్ఫురణం సదాత్మకమసల్ కల్పార్థకం భాసతే సాక్షాల్తత్వమసీది వేదవజసా యో బోధయత్యాశ్రితాన్. యల్ సాక్షాల్ కరణాల్ భవేన్న పునరావృత్తిర్భవాం భౌనిదౌ తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమూర్తయే నమ ఇదం శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తయే. నానాఛిద్రగణోదర స్థిర మహాదీప ప్రభాభాస్వరం జ్ఞానం యస్య చక్షురాదికరణ ద్వారా బహిర్స్పందతే జానామీతి తమేవ భాందం అనుభాత్యేవం సమస్తం జగల్ తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమూర్తయే నమైదం శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తయే. చిద్ర గఢోదర స్థిత మహాదీప ప్రభాభాస్వరం. గఢ మీన్స్ ఎర్తన్ పాట్. నానాఛిద్రం మీన్స్ దర్ సో మెనీ హోల్స్ ఇన్ దట్ పర్టిక్యులర్లీ సే ఫైవ్ హోల్స్ ఇన్ దట్ పాట్ అండ్ ఇన్సైడ్ దట్ మహాదీప ప్రభాభాస్వరం. మహాదీపం మీన్స్ దట్ ఎ ల్యాంప్ విచ్ ఈస్ very effulgent inside, bright light coming from that lamp inside. Gadodaram means the inside part of that pot, a part of that pot, and the lamp which is inside, which is very brilliant, from that the light is coming out through these five different holes. So when that comes out, we experience outside as though many lamps are present there. Similarly, he says here, jnanam yasyadu chakshuradhikarana dvara bahirspandade, that the నానాఛిద్ర ఘటోదర స్థిత మహాదీప ప్రభాభాస్వరం జ్ఞానం యస్యదు చక్షురాదికరణ ద్వారా బహిర్స్పందతే. దట్ సిమిలర్లీ ఇన్సైడ్ దిస్ బాడీ ది సోల్ దట్ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్సైడ్ ద్వారం బహిస్పందతే, దట్ ది ఆల్మా ఇన్సైడ్ అస్ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ దట్ in the form of awareness inside. It's present inside in the form of awareness. Here, see that word is jnanam. Jnanam yasyadu chakshuradhikarana dvara bahispandade. Jnanam here means not knowledge from the books. It is not the knowledge from the books. Jnanam means here, the Acharya Swami has used the word jnanam instead of antaryami. See how the message is the same, but different words are used at different times. Here he has deliberately used the word jnanam. Jnanam, antaryami, bodham, prajna, all means the same. Normally jnanam, when we say jnanam, it means you study books and from there the knowledge you have received. In that way you will take jnanam. Here, jnanam means that what is in the Bhagavatam. Vadandita tattvavidam tattvam jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam, inside. So, the word jnanam is like that. Generally, jnanam refers not to the knowledge from the books. It means the knowledge of realization inside. That is jnanam. Jnanam is not the knowledge from the books. Knowledge from the books is paroksha jnanam. Proper jnanam is inside this realization. What one has, that is, or that knowledge which in the form of bodham or awareness inside, which is continuously coming out through the different senses to the world outside. So that prajna or jnanam inside is chakshuradi karana dvara bahirspandade. Chakshuradi karana dvara bahirspandade. That means chakshusa means eyes. From the eyes onwards, all the other five senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, touch, through these are all the karanam or senses. Through them, it is flowing outside. that jnanam is flowing outside. And that is spandade. Spandade, spandanam. Spandanam means that it is beating through that. It's beating, the beat comes out through that. So this spandanam, or also dissipation of that knowledge inside, is called prasaranam. Another word, prasaranam, is continuously happening. He is inside us, and it's coming through the senses into the world and experiencing different things. He is experiencing there. It's coming. It is there in the Rudraidam. If you study Yogadesham, where Lord Shiva has instructed the Prajedas, there you will see the same thing. That same Alpa who is present inside is coming through the senses and is enjoying the world. And that's what we are. We are that opening through these five different holes. It's coming out, the awareness from inside. And this is why, it is because of that only. For example, if I am speaking like this, and suppose suddenly has come here, someone standing there, and why I immediately conscious of his presence there. Somebody has come there. So, if you are a little bit sensitive, you will know what is going on all around you. Is it not? Just like I am talking now, if somebody passes there in that corridor, there, I will immediately notice that. Even though I am not looking there. That's not due to the eye. It's due to that awareness inside. That awareness, you are sensitive to that. If you are a little bit sensitive, you will know that. Just like if I'm reading this and suddenly somebody passes there, I will know that somebody has passed through. That awareness is because of this. That's what Acharya says here. Jnanam yasya chakshurādi karana dvāra bahir spandade. All the time it is going out through this awareness is flowing through the senses outwardly. Through the eyes, ears, nose, touch, tongue, taste, everything. It's these five different holes, it's constantly flowing out from inside. This awareness. Awareness is flowing in. And that awareness is making us that even though my particular sense is, particular sense, for example, if a sound comes from this direction, even though I am turned in that way, I will know that the sound has come from here, from this direction. That is due to that sensitivity of the jnana prasaram. It is called the jnana prasaram or jnana spandanam. The awareness inside, how it flowing through different holes in the body and able to be always conscious of the situations around. So, or if somebody comes there, I know that somebody is looking. I am aware of that straight away, isn't it? And something comes from him and touches us. That's why you have come to know about it. So, and that is all that spandanam. That jnanam yasyadu chakshuradhikarana dvarar bahispandade. Spandanam, it is called. So, through each sense, that this prasaranam or this prasaram is continuously happening. It is happening through each senses, it is happening. Bahispandade. that the presence of something, some movement happens around, immediately you become conscious of that. That's what it is. So, so the same power, the same force that's come from this awareness, it is a force is same, but it comes through different holes, that's all. That energy of the soul or awareness of the soul is flowing through the eye, flowing through the ears, flowing through the tongue, flowing through the nose, but that force is same, but perception varies according to the sense. That's all. That is all it is. But that force, awareness, it is the same that comes through the eye and comes through the nose and comes through the tongue, comes through the ears and comes through touch, through the sense. Force is the same. But when it comes through the particular sense, the perception changes. That's only the difference. That's only the difference. So, normally we say, Jagat. Jagat means this whole manifestation, isn't it? Jagat, we said that Idam Jagat. That Idam Jagat. For example, Jagat means what? What does Jagat means? Jagat means, in the terms of Shastram, Jagat is Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. That's all, Jagat. Jagat is not all the buildings and the trees and the plants and the sky and the space. No. Jagat means these five things. Because it is these five things that's connecting you with the world. If these five things are not there, you have no connection with this world. Is it not? Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. Sound, touch, smell, taste and hear. Sound, touch, taste, smell. What's the fourth? Shabdam, sound. Sparsham, touch. Rupam, form. Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, taste, Gandham, smell. These five things, that's our five senses. These five are the subtle side of the gross elements. Earth, water, air, and fire. It's gross, these are the subtle things. So, these five things is our connection with the world. Through them, we connect with the world. If these five is not there, no connection with this world. You won't be asking the question, where did this all come from? So, not that world, in the Shastram, world does not mean America, Africa, Europe, or Sun, Moon, Milky Way, or Milk Ocean, and all that. That's not the world. In Shastram, world means this, five things. Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. You can understand why it is so. Because the other thing is all gross things. This is where the experience is coming from. Is it not? Like this, in this creation, so many things exist. So many things exist in so many places, so many forms. But that is why a definition has been given like this, in this way. Jagata means these five things. Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham. So that is all. So when you talk about Jagat, a easier way of understanding that definition, an easier way to understand or definition is, they call it in Shastram as Drishyam. Drishyam means that Drishyam means what you are perceiving. Not only what you see, seeing is normally Drishyam, but Drishyam also covers everything. That includes seeing, hearing, smelling, touching and tasting. That means all the Drishyam is also refers to that. Even though we may say Drishyam means what you see, generally that's what it means. What you see is Drishyam. Drishtava Drishyam. This is Drukka. But Drishtava Drukka Drishyam. But here, Drishyam means also the other five senses. It's because of this only that all the five senses, how it connects with the Jagat, with the world. That is why it's called Drishyam. So, for example, some living entities will have a more sensual experience than us. And some other living entities have less sensual experience than us. Depending on the number of senses. We have got only five senses, so we have that world, accordingly we experience this world. Suppose you had another couple of senses more, in something else, in some other form, another two senses, you will have a little bit more experience of this world. So, based on the number of senses, based on the number of senses, your experience of the world will change. Is it not? It's not the same. For example, suppose you have only two senses. Then, your experience of the world is different. That is why often we have this interesting phenomenon that because it is based on the senses you are saying, the snake is seeing this world in a different way than us. Another name for the snake is Chakshushravanam. Snake has got only two things, eyes and hearing. That's why it's called Chakshushravanam. Its world is that. For the snake, rockets and other complicated things doesn't exist. What it hears and what it sees. What it hears and what it sees. So, like this, how many senses you have, accordingly, your perception of the world. So, when we are asking, who has created this world? Which world are you talking about? Our world or the snake's world or the dog's world or the cat's world? They're all different according to their senses and development of the senses. It will change. It will change. So, suppose we had instead of these five senses, another sense, extra sense we had, then something more will come into our world, isn't it? Our world won't be what we now experience. The size of the whole world will change if you had another extra sense. So, whenever we say that the world where this has come, you have to look at this as well. Think about this also, that which world are we talking about that's coming, isn't it? So, you can see there, idam jagat. Yesterday we say aham and idam. Idam is jagat. And where is this jagat depending on? How is this jagat? Jagat is changing for everybody. For human species, one jagat. For animal species, a different jagat. For the birds and other things, it's a different jagat. According to their power of sensory perception, in other words. According to their sensory perception, it's another world for them. Birds don't see this world like the way we see. See how subtle the whole thing is? We are seeing the world in one way and asking some questions. Birds are seeing the world in another way and asking some other questions. Elephant is seeing the world in another way and asking another question. So which world? So that is why it is this important question. Only in a very subtle level you should have to think like this. It's not that, otherwise it is too gross to ask this question. Where did this world come from? As though it's very fixed and very firm and precise in its form. So, where is this world depending on then? What is it depending on? It's depending on your anubhavam inside. Anubhavam inside. According to the perception inside, or for the experience inside in you, how you experience it, that's your world. That is your world. That is why he's saying here, Janami ditameva bhandam anubhakyevam samastam jagat tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshinamurtaye. Janami ditameva bhandam anubhakyevam samastam jagat. Janamidi, how you perceive it, that is important. Not what is there in the gross outside. That is no meaning. Like the bird, you see, first thing, that you have to forget about all these buildings and the roads and the bridges and the mountains and the hills. That is not the world. That is the world what you are seeing with your eyes in a gross level. Actual world is what you perceive through your five senses. That is important. Because that is your connection with the world. These five outlets in the body. So through these five holes what you perceive, where is it experienced inside here? Isn't it? So that's what he's saying here. Janami taveo bhandam. It is experienced inside here. And what I am experiencing there, what is the swarupam of that? How is that I am perceiving that? And that is how I come to know about this jagat, about this world. And I see the whole world through these five different outlets. I'm experiencing it. Isn't it? I'm experiencing this world through these five different outlets. Through these five different outlets. For example, a child is born. And at that time, it is an experience of the chit shakti. Because as soon as the child is born, the baby which is born, it sees the whole world. It's come from the womb and it's experiencing the whole world straight away. So, similarly, just when a baby is born, similarly when you wake up in the morning, the first thing is what? You experience the world, isn't it? You experience the world. And you can notice there that as soon as you have gone inwards, all these things dissolve. Through the five senses, you have gone and perceived things outside. But as soon as you go to deep sleep, where is it gone? Where is everything gone? Because that is why it's saying that when you are going into deep sleep, you are going to Lord Shiva, Shiva Darshanam. And then when you wake up, creation starts. The world comes. That's the vision of Lord Brahma. And throughout the day in the vacant state, you are maintaining that that's Vishnu. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva concept has come like that. That when you go to deep sleep, you are going so inwards, everything goes away. That is destruction, samharam. When we have said Srishti, Sthiti, Samharam, creation, maintenance and dissolution, it's coming from this concept, what's happening inside us. That when you go to deep sleep state, it's Shiva. Everything gone. When you wake up in the morning, everything is created, that's Brahma. And throughout the day it's being maintained, that's Vishnu. So Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. In that way. So in our daily life, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva is operating all the time. And as soon as you wake up in the morning, Brahma comes first. And Brahma is doing that job, Brahma's job of creation. And the whole vacant state during the day, it is Vishnu. And when you go into deep sleep in the night, it's Shiva. It is Shiva. And that is, again, everything is withdrawn. You came out in the morning, created everything, Vishnu maintained it during the day, in the night, in the sleep, you have pulled back everything towards inside again, to inside, yeah. So, who is actually experiencing this whole creation? That is why Upanishad says, Jagval Swapna Sushupti Sakshi Bhudaye Namo Nama. Jagval Swapna Sushupti Sakshi Bhudaye Namo Nama. That means that vastu, which is the witness or sakshi, who is behind, inside all of us as Antaryami, or who is present in the form of awareness, I am, that awareness, that janami idi aham janami, that anubhavam anubhadi, because he is present there, because that experience or anubhavam of the alpa inside, that is why you are able to see these three different experiences. Which one? Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Three experiences. Creation, maintenance and dissolution. Getting up in the morning and then during the day awake and in the night back to deep sleep. Back to deep sleep. All these three things, who is experiencing? He is experiencing. Because of the presence of Antaryami, these things are happening. All these are in a very subtle level. In the modern science, all these things doesn't matter at all. They don't care any of these things. What they are talking about is, who created all this world? Go out, get a telescope and look at it and see where it has come from. Nana chidragadhodarastidamaha deepaprabhabhaswaram jnanam yasyadu chakshuradhikaranadvara bahirspandade janami ritameva bhandam anubhati evam samastam jagal tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam shri dakshina murtaye. Ajari Swamiji is not referring to a personality here. He is saying that Atma, who is present inside a Santaryami, it is due to his presence that janami ritameva bhandam anubhati evam samastam jagal. Because of that, this experience of the world. If he is not there, this experience is not there. Through five senses he is experiencing, and in that state, because of his presence, we have these three states. Which one? Waking state, dream state and the deep sleep. These three states are due to his presence inside. Otherwise it won't happen. Antaryami is inside, therefore the three states of existence. Antaryami is inside, therefore in the vacant state experience of the world. Otherwise not. So, where is the center? Center is Antaryami, not in the world. And we are searching for the God everywhere. Saying that he may be here, he may be there, he may be somewhere else. Where will be? He is inside there. Every one of us, as the center, he is present there. That's why yesterday I mentioned that Akhandananda Swamiji mentions in his commentary that I am grateful to my spiritual master for waking this up from inside. To tell somebody a form of God and tell him you worship him. You don't need a guru for that. What you require a guru is for to wake us up from this awareness inside. To wake it up, wake up from inside and to make aware that that is where that center is. where everything is happening. Without the presence of Alpa inside, nothing there. What spiritual life then? If he's not there, where is the spiritual life? Where is your sadhana? Where is liberation? Where is anything else you take in spiritual life? Without being aware of this center inside, from whom everything, that is what he's saying here. That Nana Chidragadadarastidamaha Deva Prabhavaswaram Jnanam Yasidu Chakshuradigarana Dwara Behirspandade Janami Nitameva Bhandam Anuhatevam Samastam Jagal Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. That if he is not there is nothing, material life, spiritual life, nothing there. It is he who is the center of everything, who is inside us, Sandaryami. Jnanam, Prajna, Jnati, Bodham. Whichever way you want to address him, doesn't matter. The Vastu is the same. And Bhagavatam says, what does he say? Vastu Shivadam. Vastu. Vastu inside. Vastu Shivadam. So because of this, then Anubhadi. Anubhadi means, because he is there, all these things are happening. All these things are happening. And how do we come to know about the sun, moon and the stars and everything? Because of him only. Suppose I look at the sky, I say the sun is shining today, or the moon is shining, or the stars are there in the sky. How do I say all these things? Because he is inside. If he is not there, what sun, what moon, what stars there? So, samastam jagat, he says that, janamidi, I come to know, tam eva bhandam, everything I am experiencing, anubhatyevam samastam jagal, the whole creation is because of him. Because of him. So that awareness inside, which is behind all existence or all our knowledge of everything, what's happening here, that we have to turn our attention towards that. That's what the Acharya Swami say here. So, if you and at the moment, what's happening is that awareness is continuously going out into the world through the senses, is it not? From morning to night, that's what is happening. We have only about 8 or 10 hours vacant state. Remaining time, it's in the dream and deep sleep gone. So, in the vacant state, what's happening? This awareness, which is capable of knowing everything, is flowing through the senses freely into the world outside. And because we are trying to escape, from here inside and to find out the truth. Where is the truth? Where is the truth? So as though we think that somewhere outside, the truth is somewhere outside. Some people are saying that this is a holy land, this should be ours. Somebody else says, no, it's our holy land. God is sitting, watching there. The awareness, God is inside awareness, and they are fighting each other for the holy land. Everywhere it's going on, he said. The same fighting for the land. So they think that if I have that piece of land with us, then God is with us, not with them. So in this false conception, we live in this world. Instead of knowing the science behind the soul, because there is no spiritual knowledge, there is no spiritual understanding, therefore we are able to fight whole day and night. How many years, thousands of years, we will fight for this holy land, isn't it? So it is unfortunate that the absence of the knowledge, you can see how it comes into our behavior in this world, how we react in this world, isn't it? There was an example of this. In the olden days, there was a lamp, because we all had kerosene oil lamps before electricity came. Kerosene oil was used most of the time. Electricity has come, in India it has come only last about say 40-50 years widely. Before then, villages and all didn't have electricity, only the big cities had electricity. So, villages, in every home, you will have different kinds of lamps which has to be cleaned and kept ready for lighting in the evening. And because when the dark comes, then you got to be ready. So these kerosene oil lamps, there were different types of lamps available in the market. Different companies were manufacturing them and selling them. So you'll try out, So often this kerosene oil also, they'll add water or something, something to it. Sometimes it won't, there was shortage for that also. Kerosene also was shortage. And war period and all that. In the Second World War, that time, there was shortage of everything. Food was shortage, kerosene oil was shortage, sugar was shortage, all shortages. So everybody had to be careful with the different things, what they buy. Nowadays, we don't know those things. Because people don't have that kind of problem. It's a different kind of problem. Now the heads are all gone. That's the only problem now we have got. Everything else is fine. So, but they lived simple, but their minds were peaceful. But today what you find is totally opposite. Anyway, so one of those lamps was such that it had a chimney-like thing. And you could put the chimney on the top after you light the wick with the matchbox, and matches also won't light. When you burn. So in childhood you could remember all these things, how life was. When you light, the match won't create the fire, make the fire. And then you have to make sure that the wick is dipped in the kerosene oil enough that when you light it will catch the fire. And then there is a knob which you have to turn so that this will come up and down. So with all that, you're trying to light this lamp, and then after, once you feel that everything is working okay, then you put this chimney on the top. Chimney on the top. So there was this light like that, in which, and it had got one base like thing, and there's a small tank underneath where you fill the kerosene oil. So somehow or the other, a little bird got inside this, very small bird got inside this from underneath. There is a hole through which it has got inside, and then it is want to come out, but it's not able to come out because it does not know through which hole it has got inside. It is trying to come out, but it is not able to come out from the chimney that which hole it has entered inside, it does not know. So it is struggling hard with its wings flapping all the time. So once Maharshi, Ramana Maharshi, was showing this in the ashram to some of the devotees who are present there, he is saying to them, look, this is how we are in this world, that we have forgotten through which hole we have come into this body. Through which hole we have come into this body. And then what we are trying to do, we are trying to go out through all the other holes, the five senses, through which we are trying to hold out. But through senses it can't go out. It has forgotten. It has to go back through the same hole where it has come from. That means when self-realization, ahankaram is that bird. Ahankaram comes out and goes through all these senses, jiva in other words. So jiva has to go back again to the aham, the bodham awareness, and where it has to go and exit from there. Exit from there. So instead what it is doing is that through the eyes, nose, ears, mouth, in all these holes it is trying to exit. But it has forgotten about the real hole through which it has come in. It has come in. Remember Krishna says this in the Bhagavatam. If you look, you will see in the 11th canto, in the 12th chapter, Krishna talks about that hole through which jiva has got inside. Sa esha jiva vivara prasuti, in the 12th chapter, 17th verse. Sa esha jiva vivara prasuti pranena ghoshena guham pravishtaha manomayam sushmam upetya rubam matra swaro varna iti stavishtaha. Jiva's entry into the body. Sa esha jiva vivara prasuti pranena ghoshena guham pravishta. Manomayam sushma upetya rupam matra swaro varnam iti stavishtaha. So that is what exactly that is. Jiva got into this body, awareness has come into this body through a hole. That is that hole where he is present all the time. And that hole it has forgotten. It does not know that that is how I got inside here. And then it is flapping and trying to come out through different holes in the body, the senses. But it cannot go. It cannot fly through these senses. So it is stuck there inside. So the bird, what has got inside, If it tries, if the bird tries, it can go back to the same hole it has got inside, isn't it? What is that that hole, what we are talking about? Because you can see in the Sushupti state, in the Sushupti state, what's happening? Everything going back to that hole again, where it came from, is it not? Where is senses gone? Where is the mind gone? Where is the intelligence gone? Where is the ego gone? Everything has gone back and gone through that hole inwards, internally, isn't it? So, in the morning when you wake up, it is through the same hole everything comes out. Senses comes out through the same hole. Mind comes out through the same hole. Because that's where he is. Andaryami let it out, everything. Intelligence, ego, everything comes out again. So that's a hole where we have come out, and that's a hole where we have to go back. So instead of giving attention to that hole, it's trying to, that is our scientific effort, what we are trying to do. He is trying to find out through this eye, through the ear, through the tongue, taste, everything, smell, everything. He is trying to explore this world and trying to think that he is somewhere here in the world outside, in that ignorance, isn't it? So, and finally what happens? We get frustrated. We are not getting anywhere. Where it came from, it has to go back there. So that's what is not happening. And somebody has to come to us and show to us that the hole is not these holes, but there is a hole there where it came out. And that making us aware of that, that is the duty of the spiritual master. Spiritual master's job is to constantly talk about that and make us aware of that hole where the jiva came from, where that hole where the jiva came from. And somebody has to hold our hand and take us there. And if we are not able to come there, you have to pull him from there, outside. So, and that awareness or aham, that awareness where the center, that is not there in the world outside. That is inside us. That center is inside us. Because all experiences, what you are having through the senses, is focused on this place. Because that's where the experience is happening. And the person who is experiencing, he is there. And that is present in me, in awareness in me, in the form of avabodham. So, and because it is spread all through the body, because of his presence there, it is spread all through the body. Therefore, in all the senses I am experiencing things. Experiencing things. So, in other words, the same light you are seeing everywhere throughout the body, it is spread all through the body in the form of consciousness. Form of consciousness. That is what it is. Nana chidra gadodarastida maha deepa prabhabhaswaram jnanam yasya duchakshuradikaranadvara bahispandade janamiditameva bhandam anubhatyevam samastam jagal tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. You can see each verse is carrying how much knowledge behind it. Proper knowledge. Not the kind of experimented research knowledge. Knowledge of the Upanishads. Knowledge of the Rishis is packaged into each of these verses. That is the beauty of these verses. Then it is not the knowledge experimented and researched knowledge. The knowledge what the Rishis have given, that has been summarized in those verses. So, what is that? Actually, this jnanam inside, that is what we are experiencing every day. Because normally when we say jnanam, we become a misunderstanding. Jnanam means generally we will translate knowledge, isn't it? Jnanam generally we say knowledge. Moment, that is why jnanam actually doesn't transmit the meaning of word is not what we call knowledge. Knowledge in English, when you say knowledge, oh, he is very knowledgeable, we'll say. What does that mean? That means he knows, he has studied a lot of books and collected all the information and kept it in his head. That's knowledge. Jnanam is not that. That's why, because that is why when we say jnanam, you have to take it that it's not the bookish knowledge of the books. Because നാച്ചുറൽ ജ്ഞാനം ഈസ് അവർ സ്വരൂപം, അവർ പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ജ്ഞാനം ഇൻസൈഡ് ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഗെറ്റിംഗ് ഡിസിപ്പേറ്റഡ് ത്രൂ ദ സെൻസസ് ഓൾ ദ ടൈം. സോ ചക്ഷുരാധികരണദ്വാരാ ബഹിർസ്പന്ദതേ. സോ ഓൾ ദിസ് ക്ലാരിറ്റി ഈസ് നെസസറി ഇൻ അസ് ബിക്കോസ് അതർവൈസ് വി വിൽ സിംപ്ലി റീഡ് ബുക്സ് ആൻഡ് കളക്ടിംഗ് ദിസ് ഇസ് ഐ റെഡ് ദിസ് ബുക്ക്, ഐ റെഡ് ദാറ്റ് ബുക്ക്, ഐ റെഡ് സോ മെനി അതർ ബുക്സ്. യു കീപ് സേയിങ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ഐ റെഡ് ദിസ് കമന്ററി, ഐ റെഡ് ദാറ്റ് കമന്ററി. യു ക്യാൻ കീപ് റീഡിംഗ് ഹോൾ ലൈഫ് ദ കമന്ററി. ആചാര്യ സ്വാമിജി സേസ് ശബ്ദം he calls it as in the Viveka Chudamani, he will say shabda jalam maharanyam. The shabda jalam, what you are reading from the books, it's a big forest, he says. Chitta brahmana karanam, if you read too much you will go nutter. You will go nutty. That's what he is saying. Shabda jala, that is useless as far as he is concerned. He is talking about realizing the truth inside. He is saying here that chakshuradhikarana dwaram. Therefore, when you are sitting quietly, without being affected by anything, in a very peaceful state, you are sitting there, then you will notice, suppose suddenly somebody passed through nearby, immediately your attention will go to that. Somebody has passed around me, isn't it? That is what is called dissipation. Bahirspandade. Bahirspandade. That means, when you are sitting in one place, it is not that this gross body is sitting there. All the five senses are all like five aerials, is catching up the information. It is not like that. What it is that what is sitting there is this awareness. One awareness is sitting there. That awareness is aware of everything what's going on around him, according to the sensitivity how the person is. That some people are not aware of anything, what happens. That's also the other extreme there. But some others, they are so aware of everything. Then if you're quietly sitting in one place and even somebody passes through, you'll become aware of that. You'll become aware of that. Or somebody passed through the street, or or the aeroplane has flown through the sky. So many awareness. Even if you don't have to hear that, but you're aware of that. This awareness is constantly flowing out through the senses, the body, everything. It's a prasaram. Prasaram means it is dissipating all the time. Awareness is dissipated through the through the body. Through the body. So, nana chit, that is the understanding. That's a very important statement. Jnanam yasyadu chakshuradi karanadvarar bahispandade. Chakshuradi karanam. Through the five different senses, bahispandade. It's constantly flowing through. And janami tameva bhandam anubhatevam samastam jagal. In this process, you come to know about the whole creation. Whole creation. You come to know about that. So, here, the mistake is, what the science is doing is, that this flowing out, the energy that's flowing out in this way, they're thinking that, oh, we have got the capacity to inquire everything in this world, so we should go to everywhere else and find out what's happening there. What Shastram is saying is, don't go in that direction. That is not the way to go. Look to the person from where everything is coming. Go back to that center where everything is happening. So that is what he is saying there. That chakshuradi karanadvaram. So dissipated, dissipation, that is bahirspandade, chakshuradi karanadvaram. And through different senses it is flowing outwardly. And but this one experience, awareness inside, is seeing this vastu in five different forms, through five different senses. That's all it is. The force that's coming from that vastu is one. When it comes through the ears, sorry, when it comes through the eyes, you see it, the form, you see the form. When it comes through the nose, you smell the object, you smell the object. When it comes through the ears, you hear the object. Any sound vibration that comes from the object. When it comes through the tongue, you taste the object. When it comes through the skin, you touch the object. But force that's coming through all five are the same. They are not different, they are one and the same. They are one and the same. So, that awareness inside, which is burning inside, that manifests outside in the form of the world because of these five senses. As I mentioned before, if instead of five senses, if you have two senses, you will experience this world in a different way. Is it not? You will experience it in a different way. So, flow of this awareness, if that flow is reversed back inwards, that is what is called as inquiry inside. This flow, awareness that's flowing outside, if we can reverse that flow, instead of going to the world and looking at all the things what's present there, if it reverses that awareness inside and flow start, that is what is called Andharmukhatvam. Vedavyasa Maharshi is Andharmukham, inward looking. All the rishis are like that, in their Andharmukham, inward looking. That's why when they have a problem, they don't go outside in the world looking for the solution, because they know the solution is inside. So when they have a problem, like when Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote all the Puranas, and he was not happy about it, and he sat there in the Saraswati river bank, and he was in a deep meditation, where he found that the reason could be this, that I have not spoken about Krishna. That came to him from inside, it came. Had he inquired in the world outside, he won't get an answer. That answer wouldn't have come. But inside he is seeing, not thinking through the mind, but in that samadhi state he is experiencing that, have I not spoken about Krishna? Maybe that is what it is, that I should have done that. And where is that coming from? From that awareness. Antaryami inside is saying to him. So, and this awareness, which is at the moment flowing through the senses into the world, all that energy, if you reverse it back, it gets conserved in one place. Instead of going through the, that is why we say we have to control the senses. You know, when we say we need to control the senses, otherwise sense control is not such an important thing. Whenever we come to spiritual life, we tell everybody, isn't it? In every process, in every religious process, we say that you have to control your senses. Controlling senses is yamam, niyamam, all these things. For what? So that this awareness that is flowing out through all the senses can be stopped. It can be reversed back. Therefore, we have to control the senses. We have to control the senses. So, and it gets conserved. That energy gets conserved inside. So, which is called Shraddha. Which is called Shraddha. So, Shraddha means what? Shraddha means this. That this aham, aham, aham inside, it is dissipating this awareness constantly, and little by little, like the bird that has come out and looking to exit from different holes, you're telling that bird to go back into the same place where it came from. So turning the attention in the same way. So little by little, whenever we have time, you have to look at it and think about this, that there is inside me, who is there, inside me, who is there, and give a little bit of attention to him, that awareness inside. And to think about it like this, who is seeing through the eyes? Who is seeing through the eyes? As soon as I open my eyes, I see, I'm seeing things. So, and as soon as I close my eyes, it's gone. I can't see anymore. Similarly, who is seeing, to who is hearing through the ears? And who is smelling through the nose? Who is tasting through the tongue? And so, similarly, who is thinking through the mind? That is the question you have to ask all the time. Who is seeing through the eyes? Who is hearing through the ears? If you keep thinking like this, you will start experiencing that there is a difference between yourself and your senses and the mind. Who is, that's the process. Who is seeing through the eyes? Who is seeing through the, who is seeing through the eyes? Who is hearing through the ears? Who is touching through the skin? Who is experiencing it? When I touch something, who is experiencing it? Or when I smell, who is smelling it? When I taste, who is tasting it? Or when thoughts are coming in the mind, who is thinking? Who is having this experience inside? Isn't it? So various dimensions, we have to come to that. Various dimensions of the awareness, isn't it? So there is somebody inside who is doing all these things. So within this body itself, when the body finally gets destroyed, what will happen to that awareness? One day, when the body gets destroyed, what will happen to that awareness inside? It's nice to think all these things when we have 5 minutes, but we don't have that 5 minutes, is it? We are running like a machine from morning to night. And then we are saying, oh, I'm not having any realization. How will the realization will come if all the time you are on the run? So that's why a few minutes we have to take every day. And this is a better, powerful sadhana it is, to look at ourselves and say, ask these questions, who is having all these experiences? And one day when the death happens, somebody will take this body, the cremation, for cremation, and burn this body there. Burn this body there. And when they burn the body, will I feel the heat when it is burned? So, or, when they burn the body outside, when they burn that body, generally, traditionally, that when father or mother die, the eldest son set fire to the body, isn't it? That's the traditional system. So, he's going to set fire to the body. Normally it was burned in the firewood or in the cow dung, in whichever way the body was burned. So, he's going to set fire to this body. When you start thinking like this every moment, you will start feeling a separation from the body. Now we are completely established in the body all the time, because we have been looking after this body so nicely, bathing them and washing them, cleaning them and supplying the food to it, and bed to sleep. In this way we cared for this body all through the life. Therefore what happened? Our taste or our realization is all the body. But the moment you start looking at it this way, that there is someone else inside who is experiencing everything but who is separate from the body. Seeing through the body, tasting through the tongue, hearing through the ear, smelling through the nose, touching through the skin, and thinking through the mind. Someone else is existing there. And again, after death, my son will set fire to this body and this body is going to go. Or when suppose you are bitten by a fly or a mosquito or something like that, I am immediately responding to that, isn't it? When a mosquito bites, I immediately respond to that. So who is responding to the mosquito bite? So who is reacting to that? In this way, who I am, asking this question at a pace convenient to us, but daily, on a permanent basis. If you keep on asking this question, this process of self-realization also becomes a lot easier. Otherwise you will never know. You will continuously keep looking after the body and you will continuously keep doing your sadhana, and at the end you are where you are, where you started. So night time when you are sleeping, the body is lying there. And you are dreaming while lying in that body. And so when I am lying there in that sleep, dream state, who is dreaming? Again the same question, who is dreaming there? If you look into Kathopanishad, how nicely it is put it there. That's in the last chapter, verse number 8. Ya esha supteshu jagarti kamam kamam purusho nurmimanam tadeva shukram tal brahmam tadevam amrutam uchyate tasmin lokashri tada sarvedu vinatyedi kashchana edadvaitat. Nachiketas asked this question, who is he? Nachiketas is asking to Yamadharma Raja. Yamadharma Raja is giving a very long explanation, that is Kathopanishad. So he is saying there, ya esha supteshu jagarti kamam kamam purusho nirmimana tadeva shukram tal brahmam tadeva amrutam uchyate tasmim lokashrita sarveda dunatyedi kaschana edadvaitad. He is saying here that kamam kamam nirmimanam. Kamam kamam nirmimanam means that this, according to your karmam, you get your reactions, isn't it? Happiness and distress in life. Sukha bhogam. Or enjoyments. Different kinds of enjoyments you get. Kamam. Kamam kamam purusho nirmimana. Means that you have done some pious activities, accordingly you will get some happiness in life. You have done some sinful things, you get your distress in life. That's what it means. Kamam kamam purusho nirmimana. Ya eshaha purusha. Then Purusha Andaryami, who is present there as Jivatma. Who is present there as Jivatma. It is Jiva who is experiencing everything. Not Andaryami, Atma. Atma is not. It's Jiva. Jiva is not different from Andaryami. Is Andaryami reflecting in our vasana. That is why it's called a Jiva. So whenever we say experiencing, while experiencing it is a Jiva. Supteshu Jagarti. That means in the vacant state and in the deep sleep. And tadeva shukram tal brahmam tadeva amrutam uchyate tal eva shukram tal brahmam. That is that brahmam. Another word. Brahmam, jnanam. All same thing. Brahmam, jnanam, yakti. It's all referring, pratnya. It's all referring to the same thing. Tal eva amrutam uchyate. And the nature of that brahmam is amrutam, nectar. It's nectar. Sarve logaha tasmin shadaha. And all the worlds are present inside that brahmam. Tal kaschana uttyadi. Nothing can transcend that. Nothing can transcend that. Edan vai tada. And that is what the one you have asked me, the Paramatma, says Yamadharmaraja to Nachiketas. That means, according to the Jiva's power, karma, power of karmam, the results are provided by him, and that alone, which is untouched by the three modes of material nature, guna sambandham, it's not there. Brahmadattvam, amradalmagam, kaivalya suryubam, is that Paramatma. And who is present in the body as Jivatma, as Jiva, is also that Paramatma. Jiva is not different from Paramatma. That is why when we talk about this Advaitam, Dvaitam and all that, you have to be very careful from which position you are talking about. When you are completely talking from the platform of the soul, it is Advaitam. There is no two things. But when you come to the state where the Jiva is spoken about, it is Dvaitam. That is Dvaitam there. So, Jiva, as long as we are in the Jiva platform, that means you are experiencing karmam, you are experiencing the pious results, sinful results, everything. We are Dvaiti. We are in the Dvaita state. Advaitam is not in the bodily level. That is the first thing. To understand that. Advaitam is not in the bodily level. Bodily level there is no Advaitam. Everything is different. Dvaitam. It is. But when we have come out of the bodily existence, when you are freed yourself from the influence and Jivatma is completely gone, finished. That means vasanas have gone, ragadvesham has gone, kartrutva bhoktrutvam has gone, everything completely gone and you are only the awareness inside existing. That is Advaita state. That's Advaita state. So, that is what he is saying here. Nachiketas asked this Yamadharmaraja this question. What is Brahman? First he said, Shair Yena. So, initially when he started answering, what did Yamadharmaraja say? If you look into the verse, that is in the, it is the verse number, in the second chapter, first canto, second chapter, verse number three. Yena rupam rasam gandham shabdham sparshamscha maithunan ete neiva vijanadi kimatra parishyade eda dvaitada. That is how he answered in the beginning. He says to him, Yena Rupa Rasam Gandham Shabdam Strashamsha Maithunan. That to explain that Paramatma, he is saying here, due to the presence of whom? Due to the presence of whom? That the enjoyer, which is called Jiva, enjoyer is Jiva, But he is able to enjoy it only due to presence of Antaryami. So due to presence of whom, the enjoyer Jiva is enjoying sound, touch, smell, taste, and including the sex life, maithunam. Rupam, rasam, gandham, shabdam, sparsham. The five things, and then maithunam. Maithunam. All these experiences of the Jiva. Jiva is enjoying, isn't it? Jiva's way to enjoy is these outlets. Rupam, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. The five things, and maithunam. Sparshamcha maithunam. Eteneiva vijanadi, that, therefore, he says here, by whose presence Jiva is able to do all these things, and after taking away everything from them, eteneiva vijanadi, kimatra parishade edadvaitad. That is what he is. That is the one you have asked here, he says here, that the Jiva, through its senses, is continuously experiencing, always an experience, anubhavam, isn't it? And happiness and distress, and other, for example, hearing is shravanam. Shravanam is hearing through the ear, through the ear. So that ear, this is one out of the five, then you will know other five as well. So when I'm hearing something, my hearing power, I require these senses, shravanam, for here, isn't it? So this shravanam happens only because it is experienced by bhokta, the enjoyer, the jiva. Jiva is experiencing that shravanam. Shravanam is experienced. And all this is happening between the jiva and the shravanam. Shravanam, the hearing, and the jiva, together, this is necessary. The hearing, this ear is necessary. But experiences is in the jiva. Jiva is experiencing it. But this function can only happen if he is behind it. Who? Antaryami. Antaryami is necessary. Because this jiva is nothing but Antaryami in another form there. And that you will see, Lord Shiva says that in the Yoga Desham prayers. If you want, I'll give you the words. When you go home, when you have time, just take these verses and have a look at it and see what 424, 64. That is called, what do they call it? Yoga Desham. Yoga Desham is Rudragidam. Rudragidam. Remember, Prachedas went to perform penances. Prachinabar, he sent them. All ten of them went underneath the water and performed 10,000 years penances. Krishna sent Lord Shiva to instruct them. You can see Prachedas were ready for spiritual knowledge. When they were ready for the knowledge, the best authority came to instruct. Shiva himself came. And Shiva is asking them, who are you? We know who... instead of being introduced to him, he's saying, are you not Prachedas? They said yes. Are you not Prachinabrahi's children? He says yes. They are all saying yes. Okay. He said, you have come to worship Krishna, isn't it? So, then I have to give you the proper instructions. And that's how this Yogadasham prayers are very famous. It's a subject of its own. It's a beautiful prayers in the Bhagavadam that Lord Shiva is teaching them. Who? Prachedas. And in there, in the 24th chapter, that is, if you look into the 64 verse 64, there, what does he say? Srishtvam sushaktyedam anupravishtam chaturvidam param atmamshagena atho vidustam purusham sandam andar bhumte krishiker madhu saraghamya. What he is saying there is that purusha inside, he is tasting the world as jiva. You see, Purusha inside, Antaryami inside, how is he enjoying the world? Through jiva. So jiva is not different from him. It is him who is in the form of jiva. Not different. But when he is enjoying the happiness and distress, the results of activities and all that, he is jiva. He is jiva. When that jivatvam goes away, jivatvam means that capacity to enjoy and suffer in this world, you won't call it as capacity, you call it as that misery of the happiness and distress of this world. When that is taken away from us, or it is, we have lost it, then you have lost jivatvam. You are not jiva anymore. You are not jiva anymore. Jiva quality has gone. That's what he's saying. Ado vidishtam purusham sandam andarbhunte. Andarbhunte. Hrishiker madhu saragamya. He is sitting inside like a sandam andarbhunte hrishiker. Like a bumblebee which goes and takes the nectar from the different flowers. Similarly, sitting inside, he is through different senses, he is sucking the nectar from everywhere, little bit, and enjoying it. That is what then. This is Lord Shiva's statement on that. Srishtvam sushaktyedam anupravishtam chadurvidham puramalpam shagena adho vidustam purusham sandamandar bhunte hrishikair madhusaragam ya. So, any amount of glorification of the Antaryami, Lord Shiva is not satisfied. He is saying that's him who is present in the form of Jiva. So that is the Yamadharma Raja says to Nachiketas that in this way, for example, the ear and the Jiva, similarly eyes and the Jiva, similarly nose and the Jiva, taste and the Jiva, touch and the Jiva. Jiva and this sense together is giving us the experience, what we are experiencing now. The more we are experiencing, it means Jiva is very active in everything. That's what it means. Jiva is very active. So Yamadharma Raja is saying to Nachiketas that if you reject both of these, all these senses and the Jiva, my dear Nachiketas, what remains there? That's him. Antaryami. That's it. So the Paramatma Tattvam, that's the only way you can explain. You have to keep rejecting all these things, senses, how, what the function of the senses, function of the Jiva, and function of the Paramatma. Separately everything. And when that's all spoken, what remains? That is, he says here, ye sopneshu jagarti. The supteshu jagarti. While sleeping, now, what's interesting there is, even while you are in the deep sleep, he is awake. Because he is awake, that is why when you wake up in the morning, he is telling you that you had a good sleep. That shows that he was awake even in the deep sleep. He wasn't sleeping. You were sleeping, but he wasn't sleeping. He wasn't sleeping in the deep sleep. With all this understanding in the Shastram, how can you say there is no soul, there is no life? How could you say that? And that is what makes us think, what is the so-called big brains of this world? Science and big scientists, they are all each other giving degrees and calling each other big men, isn't it? Big university, big lecture, and imagine that ignorance inside. So, this is a sad thing, that we are unable to understand this. So, and also, while dreaming in the night, while sleeping and dreaming in the night, so, you can see here, Edadvai Thada, he said, Sopneshu Jagarti Kamam Kamam Purusho Nirmimanam, Kathopanishad statement. And then he said, first they said that. Then he said, Yena Rupa Rasam Gandham, all that in the other words also. By whose presence you are seeing something, you are hearing something, all that. So that awareness, that is what it is. Now, after saying all these things, Kathopanishad is going one step further, little bit more in a subtle level. First in the sensual level, in the level of senses. Now it's little bit more on a subtle level. And all these things what is spoken till now in the Kathopanishad is about the senses, which means about the body. Now, little bit more subtle, next step, that is the mind. In the level of the mind, what happens? Mind what happens is, that you are lying down, body is not doing anything, senses are not working, but yasupneshu jagarthi, somebody is awakened inside, even in the dream state and in the deep sleep, and he is seeing, it is only because of his presence there, this jiva is able to experience the different dreams. Only because of the presence of him. And so many things you are experiencing in that dream state. And tadeva shukram. tadeva shukram. Yamadharmaraja is saying to Nachiketas, not being miserly about it, he is saying that the Brahman what you are inquiring after is that. Is that tadeva shukram tad brahmam tadevam amrutam uchyate tadevam amrutam uchyate. So and he says, Yamadharmaraja says to Nachiketas, that you know that person who is seeing all these things, he is nectar, he is amrutam, amrutam uchyate, he is nectar, because he is the one who is holding everything with him. Tasmin Logashridaha. All the 14 planetary systems are dependent on him. Taduna Tedi Kaschana. And nobody can go beyond him. Nobody can go beyond him. Yena Rubanasam Gandam Shabdam Sparshamscha Maitunan. Etene Vijanadi Kimatra. Parishyade edadvai tada edadvai tada. And in that verse, yasupteshu supteshu jagarti kamam kamam purusho nurmimana. Yamadharmaraja, after talking about it, he is saying tadeva shukram tal brahmam tadevam amrutamuchyade tasmin lokaha shri taha sarveda dunatyedi kashchana edadvaitade sarveda dunatyedi kashchana. That no one can surpass him, no one can go beyond him, he finishes everything is finished there. Sakashtasa paragadi. And so first spoken in the bodily level. Now Yamadharmaraja spoke in the level of the mind. Now he is going to talk about in the level of the deep sleep. He says there. In the deep sleep state, when you are not seeing anything, somebody is telling you, you are in a happy state. Who was that? Yamadharmaraja is saying, and that is Brahman. That is Brahman or Antaryami. In this way, why in Kathopanishad it is spoken like that? So that we also follow the same path. Little by little, you should go from the body to the mind and to the soul. Step by step, to come from the body to the mind to the soul. And if you look here, in the Dakshinamurti Sotram also, same process. First, what did he do? He spoke about the world, Vishwam, isn't it? The first verse. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. Or that whole verse is about the world. First verse. And then what Acharya Swami said, exactly the same process like in the Kathopanishad. Second verse, he is saying, where is this world situated? In the bijam, the seed inside. And he gave the example of the banyan tree seed. Everything is packaged into the seed. Second verse. And in the third verse, he is talking about that vastu inside, Atma. So you can see step by step how it is going more and more subtle. First you have to begin everything from the gross side, from the world. Everything begins with the world. Then step by step go inward. Step by step go inward. That's the process. Kathopanishad, same process. Dakshinamurti Sotram, same process. And same thing you will see in the Prahlada Stuti also. There is a system for everything. Only thing, because it's so subtle, we won't know it. We just read translation purport. And we keep seeing each word separately. That's no good. All these verses are together. There is an underlying flow between all this shastram. In shastram, there is an underlying flow between that. Even when Krishna is instructing Uddhava, you can see how that flow goes. Dattatreya Gita, Hamsa Gita, Bhikshu Gita, Aila Gita, and the transcendental knowledge at the end. There is a flow in that if you carefully read through that. That's a little bit understanding. So here also in the same way, he spoke in the Shravati Sotram, he spoke about the world. Then he said, where is the world situated? And he gave the example of this seed of the banyan tree, how it is packaged inside that. That's how the world is, he said. And then after that, he said, that seed is inside us, and that is where everything is happening. Moved from gross body to the to the mind, to the self inside, Antaryami inside, and that's where everything is happening. So here, in the same way, you can understand little by little, from outside we have to go inwards. And how to make this happen? It is for that purpose only, japam, dhyanam, everything, meditation, chanting, all these things, so that you lose that grossness in us. When the mind is very gross, it's all over the world, isn't it? By chanting, what happens? The mind becomes finer and finer. It becomes more focused, in other words. It becomes more focused. And that purpose only, all processes, japam, dhyanam, puja, murti puja, all is for that purpose. So, but what has happened is, over a period of time, we have lost that power of analyzing things in the proper way. And it all ended up in the form of religion. And religion, what is it? Doing all these things in a mechanical way. Doing deity worship in a mechanical way. Chanting in a mechanical way. Guru Puja in a mechanical way. Oh, every morning I think, oh, I have to go for Mangalarati at 4:30. Or I have to go for Guru Puja at 7 o'clock. And just like it becomes a routine. Like I have to bathe, I have to brush my teeth. Or I have to dress. In the same way, I have to do this. It has become like that. And that becomes religion. That's then religion. If this understanding is gone, then everything has gone. Then it has become like another activity in the day, isn't it? I have to go to office. I have to cook my lunch. In the same way, you will say, I have to go for Mangalarati. I have to do this, I have to do that. So, then it becomes ajaram, anushtanam. But the only benefit from all these things are that sakala, all kinds of distress what we have, we are experiencing in this world, is because the objects that is outside and the happiness that is outside, we have built up a feeling inside that that's all true. Is it not? At the moment, our mistake is, mistaken situation I'm saying, that all the happiness outside and all the objects outside, they are all real. Happiness, objects are real for us, and all the happiness that's coming from that is all real. We have accepted it like that. And we have also this illusion that I'm going to get happiness from all these things one day. Brahmam. That's what it is called, Brahmam. So this Brahmam, somehow or the other, we have to take it out from us. We have to take it out. So in order that, to take this illusion from our head, that everything outside is real, and we are getting some happiness from that, that's also real, and all the objects are real, how to get this out from us, this misunderstanding from us? Therefore, what the rishis have done, they created a different kinds of daily program for us. They gave us daily program for that. Without any particular result in the mind, all what they wanted was so that you don't go outside and start get involved in the business outside. And that developed in different forms, in different kinds of practices, religious practices, in different religions, in different forms. That's all. In Hindus in one form, Christians in another form, Muslims in another form. Everybody has this, what we call it as achara. Achara, isn't it?
It has developed into ajaram. And what happens now is, everybody is thinking this ajaram is the most important thing. And they are stuck in that ajaram. My ajaram is better than your ajaram. I start thinking like that. And that is not good, because that is not getting you anywhere. These acharams have been created by the rishis. Only reason for that is so that you don't get involved by doing such things which gives you false happiness inside. Whereas if you attend Mangalardi, you are not going to get anything, is it? No money for attending Mangalardi. If you chant Japa, nobody will pay you for that. If you do Guru Puja, nobody is going to pay for that. So this illusion has to go from us, that only by doing things I'll get. Whereas when you go out to work, we say to everybody, say in the offices they say, time is money. Time is money. That concept is so strongly embedded inside. So we have to pull that out from inside. Why is time is money? Because every hour I spend outside, I will make so much money so that I can enjoy with that money. That is the underlying thought behind it. So, in order to get that ignorance from inside, to get it out, rishis created various spiritual programs so that you do something without expectation anything from that. That's how all the other spiritual programs have been developed. So, and unfortunately, this is called jadilam. Jadilam means that not knowing the goal and purpose, getting stuck in somewhere like this. Sometimes people get stuck. Some devotees say, I've been attending Mangalarti for the last 30 years without a break every single day. Then one day after all that, after 30 years, one day something happens in life. He says, oh, I'm not going for Mangalarti anymore. After 30 years, it's finished. Similarly, so many years I've chanted the holy name and now I think, I've been chanting, what happened now? Where is the result? They come to this. This is because of this problem. That is why to understand spiritual life properly is necessary also. So, what is the intention behind it? That we have to know. So, the intention is this, somehow or the other, to move our attention from outside to inside. That's the purpose behind that. That means, sometimes you can see in the Shastram what they call it as Manasa Puja. Suppose you have not, Manasa Puja is more powerful than the puja in the temple. Because your bhavam is there in Manasa Puja. You may have heard about this Manasa Puja. Manasa Puja means in your mind you are doing the worship without any physical articles. No water, no flower, no incense, no nothing to fan, no nothing like that. But the worship you can do. Manasa Puja, there is a whole process spoken in there about that. So, that Manasa Puja, you will see in the Manasa Puja how that is done, that Almatvam Girijamadi Sahacharam Pranashariram Griham Pujade Vishayobhogarachana Nidra Samadhi Sthiti Sanjara Padayo Pradakshina Vidhi Stotrani Sarvagira Yadyat Karma Karyomi Tandakilam Shambho Tavaradhanam. So, how is this Manasa Puja done? With the mind, how do you worship the deity? How do you worship Krishna in the mind? That, so, in Manasa Puja, Antaryami is the deity. Antaryami is the deity. So, you remember that story, there is a Brahmana who was performing Manasa Puja with the sweet rice. It is in the story mentioned, Prabhupada mentions that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita somewhere. It was not with articles, the puja. That shows the power of Manasa Puja. That he has cooked the sweet rice, offering that, and he touched the sweet rice and her hand got burned. Is it not? That story is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada put that there. So that Brahmana's Manasa Puja was so powerful that it is more powerful than the worship of the deity at the temple. This is the difference between Manasa Puja and the Kriya Yogam. Kriya Yogam is what you do physically, everything. Kriya, it's karmam it is, with karmam. Here, it is not karmam, it is in the mind. Everything is happening inside the mind, Manasa Puja. So, and there, the deity is Antaryami. Krishna is sitting inside, you are offering to him everything. He is inside, you are very conscious of that. So one by one, every article you are offering, and finally, when the naivedyam, the last offering, prasadam, the cooked sweet rice was offered, he wanted to touch and see. What does that show? So deep was the absorption, isn't it? Otherwise, how could it happen? His mind was so absorbed in that manasa puja that he felt that the finger got burned. Finger got burned. That shows that how deep absorbed it was. Deeply absorbed he was in the worship. So here also, what you have to remember is that it is in that center everything is happening. Everything is happening. Practically you can say 3/4 of us is there. Actually 3/4 of us is there. The remaining quarter is in the body, in the intelligence, in the mind. When we talk about ourselves, who we are, 3/4 of us is in that center. The remaining 25% is in the body, mind, intelligence, and all the other places, isn't it? So if you see that 3/4 inside, then the remaining quarter, which is in the body, mind, intelligence, that will become not so important anymore. That is why you remember in the Purushasuktam prayers, if you look into the Purushasuktam prayers, the first verse itself is that Edavanasya Mahima Bhudani Tripadasya Mradadivi. If you look into Purushasuktam prayers, it is there. Purushasuktam is a separate prayer which Lord Brahma and the demigods, they chanted at the milk ocean, shores of the milk ocean, inviting, asking Krishna to help. Before Krishnavadaram this happened. It is famous, Purushasuktam prayers. And it is chanted in all the big temples in the morning during the deity worship. It is an integral part of deity worship in all the big temples. It is done. And so the first verse of that Purushasuktam is this. What does it say? It says that Edavanasya Mahima Bhudani Tripadasya Mradadivi. That 3/4 of that is him inside him, referring to him. And so this whole world, what you are seeing outside, that includes the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, it's only a quarter. The first verse of the Purushasuktam says that. It's only a quarter. And the remaining 3/4, where is that lying? That is lying in your experience inside, right inside the Hridayagasham, in that spiritual sky inside. So that is how that your attention has to turn away from the world, from the body, mind, intelligence and ego, senses, everything, which is all jadam. What Krishna says is jadam. From there, Shraddha has to turn towards this idam. This is idam inside. Aham, from idam to aham. To aham. So from idam, it has to turn towards aham. Because aham is the real thing. Idam is not real. Idam is not real. So, this aham, which is inside us, that is what is emitting through this earthen pot. Remember I mentioned the earthen pot, which has got these 5 different holes? This is also the earthen pot. This body is the earthen pot. That's why the comparison is given. Because this is also earth. Only thing is the potter made it in a little different way, that's all. This earthen pot. And these 5 holes are there in this earthen pot. And through these 5 holes, he is inside Andaryami. Through these different holes in this earthen pot, he is sending his rays through that. And that's what our life in this world is. So that is what that 4th verse is about all. Knana chidragato dharastida mahadiva prabhabhaswaram jnanam yasyadu chakshuradikarana dvara bahispandadem janamiditameva bhandam anubhatyevam samastam jagal tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam shri dakshina murtaye. Then after that, next verse is saying, all that what has been spoken in the previous verses, those who don't have knowledge of these things, about them is spoken in the next verse. Let's look at that. Deham pranam abindriyanya bijalam buddhim jashunyam vidaha stri bhalanga jadobamasto hamidi vranda brisham vadina maya shakti vilasa kalpidamaha vyamoha samharine tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye deham pranam abindriyanya bijalam buddhim jashunyam vidaha stri bhalandha jadobamastvam ahamidi brandha brisham vadinah maya shakti vilasa kalpidamaha vyamoha samharine tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye. So here deham pranam abindriyani abhichalam buddhim jashunyam vidaha. People who have no knowledge, they think I am this body. They think I am this body. And some others, they have gone inside and they started saying, I am not this body, I am the prana, life, air, inside. And some people have gone and identified with the body all the time. Some people have gone and identified with the prana inside all the time. Prana inside all the time. Some others have gone and identified with the senses. With the senses. And some others are saying that chittam or mind inside, which is constantly changing with the thoughts, they start going and identify with that. All of us are like that, isn't it? Sometimes we identify with the body, sometimes we identify with the mind, sometimes we identify with the senses, sometimes we identify with the prana, life air. But some others are saying, none of this, I am none of this. And they are saying, no, nothing exists. Shunyavadam. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. That's Shunyavadam. Shunyavadam means voidism, isn't it? Voidism. Void, everything is void. Only body exists, mind exists, intelligence exists. When they are all together, all these things happen. When they all finish, they all go in different way. Nothing else. After that, everything is over, they say. And Brahmadaha, all these are mad. All these people are mad. Brahmadaha means one who is under Brahmam. Brahmam means illusion. Vadinaha. So, in different ways, they create different arguments, saying that I am the body, I am the mind, I am the prana, I am the senses, I am the intelligence, in this way. What is the reason for that, in this way, things to happen? That is what he said. Maya shakti vilasa kalpita mahavyamoha samharine. Power of Maya. Maya has succeeded in doing this. Otherwise, why is that we are all thinking different like this? Intelligent people, but they are saying there is no soul. They say there is no soul. But you can ask many of these professors and from big Cambridge and Oxford and all that, they'll tell you, oh, there is no such thing called soul. And they have analyzed it so many years, experimented, researched everything, and they have come to this conclusion, there is no soul. All that exists is there. Some other, and there is difference of opinion among themselves. Somebody says, everything is this body. Somebody says, no, there is a thing called mind inside. And somebody else says, the senses are there. So, they are all identifying the different parts of the same body and making different statements. Pranan, mind, senses, gross body, intelligence. Lot of them are on the intellectual platform. So therefore identify with the intelligence and they say it's intelligence. That is why whenever they want an answer, they want an answer from the intellectual level. You have noticed that? They will ask you for an answer. They'll say, oh, it's not intellectually not very satisfying to me. They'll say like that. That's the reason. Because they are identifying with intelligence. That's where the problem is. They don't know that behind that intelligence, your buddhe paratastusa, that Krishna is there above that, who is controlling that intelligence also. That acceptance is not there. So therefore, they are all put into the same category, mutha. But why? And why is this difference? Those who are identifying with the intelligence, they talk in one way. Those who are identifying with the mind, they talk in a different way. Those who are identifying with the body, they talk in a different way. For example, these people who are into the bodybuilding and going to the gym and making their muscles big, and they feel very proud about it. Completely in that body. Identification with the body. And those who have got this intellectual problem, like the professors and the scientists and all that, they are stuck in that intelligence pit called intelligence. These are stuck in the pit called the body. And then there are others who are stuck, life is only meant for enjoying, there's nothing else in this life, just to enjoy. They are the ones who are stuck in the pit of senses. And there are the others who are a little bit more poetic and who are connected in an emotional level with the truth. And they are the ones who are stuck in the mind. All of them are stuck in one pit or the other. But nobody is, and why is that? That is due to Maya. That's what he's saying there. That Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpidam. Maya can play us in this way, putting us in different pockets, and you will speak according to the pocket where you are inside. If you are in the intelligence pocket, you will speak in like intelligence, everything. If you are on the mental platform, you will talk, say, mind is everything. If you are on the sensual platform, there are many people like that. They think that life is simply for enjoyment. We have to enjoy all the minute. Every minute we have to enjoy. That, why is that? Because of the senses overpowering everything else. And for some people, intelligence overpowers everything. And that overpowering is conducted by Maya. Maya does that. So that's why he's saying here, Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpitam Maha. It creates Vyamoham. Vyamoham means this illusion is created inside. Vyamoha Samharine. That. Therefore, this is happening. So, Vyamoham means, what's the difference between Vyamoham and Moham? Moham is illusion. Vyamoham means Vibharita Kalpana. Vibharita Kalpana means that there is some truth. It won't allow you to get to the truth. But something else it will produce inside you. It will produce some false understanding inside you and mislead you in that way. That is called Vyamoha Kalpana. Vyamoham it is. For example, when you see the rope and you start misunderstanding it as the snake, isn't it? So it is not the truth. There is no snake there. But you are saying there is a snake there, seeing the rope. So that means when you are seeing the asata, you are able to see it as the sata. It buddhi, mind, senses, every body, all of them are asata. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning. Everything is asata, isn't it? So when you start misunderstanding asata as a sata, that's called Vyamoha. And that's the power of Maya. So to think that body, mind, intelligence, senses, that is all sata. And that is that Brahman. Therefore, what happened? Because of this, what happened? When you start thinking, identifying with the asata, you are not giving attention to the sata, what is inside. Sata, you are not giving any attention. Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpida Maha Vyamoha Samharine. That Vyamoham has come. Vyamoha Samharine. So, how can you remove that illusion from inside? By Dakshinamurti's grace. Krishna's grace, Antaryami's grace from inside. Then, that's why it says here that Deham pranam abhindriyanya bichalam buddhim jashunyam vidaha stribhala antha jadobamastum ahamidi branda brisham vadina maya shakti vilasa kalpidamaha vyamoha samharine tasmai shri gurumurtaye nama idam shri dakshinamurtaye. So, in the Bhagavadam, Krishna says to Uddhava, yadha yadalpa, there is a verse in the Ekadasha Skandam, that when this knowledge of the self builds up inside, you will start seeing things properly, just like when you put that anjanam in the eye, and the cataract goes away. In the past, that was the treatment. Chakshutidam, that Chakshuryadam Anjanam, how you apply Anjanam in the Chakshus and your vision gets better. Similarly, when this Chakshus eyes are ointed with knowledge, then you become conscious of your existence or awareness inside. At that moment, you will start realizing, I am not Asat, I am Sat. Up to that time, you will be always thinking, Asat I am, and identify with the Asat. So, that Vyamoham will go away at that point. At that point, that Vyamoham will go away, when the knowledge comes inside. So, in order that knowledge to manifest, and the awareness of the existence inside to come, that to Dakshinamurti, I pay my obeisances. Dakshinamurti means that knowledge of the Antaryami inside. It is in that way it is spoken here. So, that is the seventh, that words. So, now it's almost 9 o'clock. We'll have a break now, isn't it? Because we have to finish at 11 o'clock today, I think. Or 11:30. 11:30. So, it is now 9 o'clock. 9:30. No. Yeah. So, now it's 7:30. No. 9. 9:30 we have to finish it. 9:30 we have to break. Yeah. So, here. What's happening here? From the gross plane going to the subtle plane. From a gross plane slowly moving into the subtle plane. That means from sthulam little by little going to the sushma. That is the process. That is the process. And in that way to simplify everything. So in that system we began with the Vishwam. Vishwam means the world. From the world we have started. And then Yasyaivaspuranam, we saw that. Then we came to Alma. Yasyaivaspuranam sadalmagamasal kalpartagam bhasade. Sarshal tattvamasidhi vedavajasa yo bhodayati ashridhan. So starting with the world, we have slowly come to the subtle thing called Alma. Yasyaivaspuranam. So in the first two verses, we have talked about the world, creation, talked about the creation. And now, what is significance of this verse? That also we have to talk about, the significance of this verse. So, creation, according to Upanishads, is vivartam, not parinamam. I will explain what this two word means. There are two words, Parinamam and Vivartam. Upanishad says it is Vivartam, not Parinamam. For example, Charles Darwin says to us that what is called evolution, that is called Parinamam. Parinamam means evolution. Evolution is called Parinamam. So, according to Darwin's theory, and also many scientists also support that theory, and we are also saying against that is not Parinamam. Parinamam, Vivartam, these two things exist. Science talks about Parinamam. Upanishad, that means evolution. That means one transforms to another. Isn't it? One transforms to another. Like you can see, Darwin's theory is that we were monkeys before we were transformed and we became like the way we are now. That was Darwin's Darwin's theory, isn't it? So, that means one thing turns into another later. One thing develops or progresses or whatever way you call it, it transforms to something else. Vedantam says there was never any Parinamam, evolution. Never happened any evolution. This is a false theory from the Vedantam point of view. Upanishads won't accept that theory. Upanishads won't accept that theory of transformation. What Upanishad is accepting is vivartam. Vivartam parinamam, two things. Vivartam is like this. Vivartam, for example, say you have milk, it turns into yogurt. Milk turns into yogurt. That is called parinama. Monkeys turn to us. That's parinama. Parinama. But snake mistaking it as rope, mistaking it as snake, is vivartam. That is clear, isn't it? You can easily understand that. Something you are mistaking it and perceiving it as something else, that is vivartam. For example, Shastram is saying this world is Krishna. We say, no, this world is not Krishna. Krishna is somebody else. So, mistakenly thinking the world as something else, as not Krishna, is vivartam. Just like rope you are seeing, and you are mistakenly seeing it as something else, as a snake, that's vivartam. Milk turns into yogurt, that is parinama. So that is the best example to make us understand vivartam and parinama. Upanishads only accept vivartam. Upanishads won't accept parinama. Parinama is the scientist's way. They have some crazy ideas in their head and they keep on broadcasting this and doing their research based on this. Is all nonsense. Actually, it has no sense at all. Where is the proof that it has been parinama? Then why is that all the monkeys are not like us? Some monkeys only became like us and some monkeys are staying as they are. Where is the, this is all mental speculation. This is completely mental speculation. So in this way they have built up some understanding. Upanishads won't accept that. Upanishads are saying, rishis are saying to us, there is no parinamam here. What you are experiencing here is vivartam. It is vivartam. It's not its true form. You are not experiencing Krishna here. In a mistaken way you are saying this is all dead matter. See, this is the thing. When you are looking at the world, you are seeing these buildings, roads, mountains, rivers, the sky, and so many things here. You are not seeing Krishna there. And he sees Krishna actually. Krishna is in that home. So that is why it's called vivartam. That's why it's called vivartam. That is due to bhramam. That is due to bhramam. And due to the mistake in us, the person who is seeing it, due to that, you are seeing it, seeing this in many, many different forms. As far as Upanishad is concerned, no evolution has happened here. No evolution has happened here. So, the rope that's lying there has never gone to the snake at any time. But still, I'm seeing it as a snake. Science is saying that there was an evolution, isn't it? Evolution has happened. There is no evolution that has happened here. This is the message. Yeah. So, and nothing has happened, and no movement has happened either in the form of evolution. And it cannot move either. It cannot move either. Because where will that movement happen? The changes will happen. Who is changing it? If you can see the way they are looking at it. The scientists are looking at it. They are looking at the monkeys and they are looking at us. They are saying in shape and all they look very close, isn't it? Two hands, two legs. This is the nose. And a lot of habits also. We are scratching. They are also scratching. This is the brain of these people. Imagine. Such dull-headed characters. And they write big, big books. And this is not Shastram. This, what kind of Shastram is this? That you are looking at some... First of all, only through the eyes they are making the judgment. Through the eyes. And they are saying, we were making that noise, what the monkeys are making now. We must have been making that noise. Then later on we developed everything and we got this thing called our language now. This is their way of saying how the language came about. Whereas we said, mentioned in the beginning, how languages came. Para pashyanti madhyama vaikari. Para is the beginning of the language. Not the monkey sound turns into English language later. It didn't happen that way. So, and then they are saying, all these languages, they come from Sanskrit, they are saying, Indo-European languages, yeah, English including. So from monkeys sound, it must have turned into Sanskrit, is it? And from Sanskrit, all other languages came according to their... There is no logic in anything what they are saying. It's all confusion, confusion, confusion everywhere. This is not Shastra. What kind of Shastram is this? that when you are presenting something, it has to have some sense behind it, isn't it? So here, evolution, if you start saying evolution, if you start talking about that, then it will go on like this. We will ask the question, why are we not getting evolution again and changing better? There should be evolution in us also. We will lose our two hands and two legs and become some other form later. If evolution is true, it should happen, isn't it? It hasn't happened. So that is why vivartam is acceptable to Upanishads. What they are saying is, what you are seeing as the world, experiencing as the world, this has come like this because you are imposing this on Alma. Antaryami, who is experiencing this, he is saying this world exists in this way. It is his experience, Alma Aropanam. Aropanam is superimposing on the self. Actually, what is existing is only the self, nothing else, Alma. Then Alma, you are superimposing this, and that's what you call as the world. So, the inquiry is this, that this unlimited creation, which goes on universe after universes, and you can't even comprehend the beginning and end of this, where it came from, where it's going, where it starts, where it ends. You have no idea about all these things. And the important thing is, where is the source of all these things? Where this has come from? That is what was spoken in that second verse. You remember? Desha kala kalina maya kalpita desha. Second verse. Maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaichitra chitri kritam. That word. Maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaichitra chitri kritam. That is how Upanishad sees this world. Upanishad sees this world in that way. So, what does that mean? Maya kalpana desha kala chalana vaichitra chitri kritam. In the Upanishad's definition, the world is time and space. That's all. Time and space. Nothing more. Nothing more. Nowadays, sometimes scientists are saying time and space is not separate. Is not separate. They are saying it's one and the same thing. Some scientists are saying like that. Time and space is one and the same thing. So science is also slowly making some changes in their way of looking at things. They are saying time and space are not different. They have only started taking time and space seriously in the last 100 years or so. Time and space seriously. Before that, time and space also. Now they start saying that this is not getting anywhere, this research work is not getting anywhere. So they started saying, oh yeah, time and space has something to do with it. They started looking at it that way. So even after that, even though they are saying that, not much progress has happened from their side. What's the reason? What's the reason for that? Because all the inquiry is outside. That's the problem. So that sometimes scientists are saying that we will keep on inquiring and finally the circle will complete and will come back to us. Finally, when the circle is completed, will finally come back to us. So so what they are saying is, these inventions and this all other things what we are doing now in the outside, that it's like a circle, they are saying. When we are done all the inventions and everything is completed, circle is completed, and then they will start thinking there's nothing more to invent anymore. Everything is finished, inventions. And then what will you do? Then you need something to inquire after. At that time you'll come back to the soul, to inquire about the soul. After inquiring about everything, inventing everything, developing everything, that when you are complete, you have nothing more to invent. Sometimes you can see how they are trying to invent new things, and there's nothing new to invent anymore. They have been inventing so many new things, machine after machine, and everything they have done, and it's coming to a stage where they can't invent anymore. So even though they have spent all their time and energy in inventing so many things, finally they are coming to a dead end. So they are coming back to the source again. Who is making the inventions? Who is making the inventions? So, even though we have invented so many things, we are still where we are. Nothing has changed, is there? We are still where we are. Same problems, same misery, and same experiences in the world, same struggle. Nothing has changed. What has changed? So, and after all these inventions, still the same confusion everywhere. So, the whole thing has become more confusing now than before they invented everything. Is it not? They become more confusion. So, that is why progress, when we are talking about, when we talk about the progress, real progress, what is that real progress? Many things it may be possible in the future that they may invent many more things, like their plans to go to Mars and then to Pluto or other planets, whatever it may be. But all this is a game you are playing with the objects outside. Is it not? Different planets and other things. And none of these games will go into bring peace into us, inside us. No shanti will come from any of these things. And no satisfaction either. And before, from the time the creation happens, as we say, whatever situation we were in, the same anxiety, same misery, same unhappiness, and same problems still exist today. Isn't it? Birth, death, old age and disease, all that exist. And we are still eating, and we still have to sleep, and still we are having the same physical pleasures, what we had then. Nothing different. Whatever they had, the same pleasures we still have. So, nothing has changed from the day we started this human existence, as we are seeing here. And only thing is that he does not have the time to inquire seriously about the truth. Everything else, he has got the time. Everything else, he has got the time. I think we'll have a break now.
Chedo darpanamarjanam vamahadavagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandrika vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam purnamrudaswadanam sarvapna suvanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahudanija sarva shakti tatrapidanimida smaranena kalam एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणारवीषु नीचेना तरोरवीसहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कृतनीय सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदाद् भक्तिरहै दुवित्वयि अयि नन्दतनुजकिङ्गरम् पतिदामांशमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूलीसदृशम् विचिन्तय नयनम् गलदशुधारया वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निचितम् गदा वपु तव नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायिदम् निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायितम् शून्यायिदं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्द विरहेण मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विददातु लम्बडो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा.
So, we are talking about the inquiry, what we are inquiring after, isn't it? In the world outside, however you inquire, whatever you inquire, you won't get to any conclusions at the end. It will go on, this process will go on like this for unlimitedly and endlessly. It will continue like this. As you can see, that with all our development, science and all other processes, whatever we have done so far, nothing has solved the problem. We still have the basic problems of life, of material existence, isn't it? Old age, disease, death, all problems exist. And at least these three problems are very very daily we are experiencing. Birth we don't know, because as we say, some people say, oh, how do you know that I have to take birth again? Okay, leave that behind. If you don't accept it, fine. But death, old age and disease, it's right in front of our eyes. There is no solution to this. It's happening all the time and it doesn't change. People are dying 50,000 years ago, people are dying today. People are getting sick then, people are getting sick today. People experience old age before, we are also experiencing old age and the problems of that. So, at least those three things, death, old age and disease, is part of this life and there is no solution to those problems, isn't it? So, so nothing you can change here. You can't change those things. Some illusion in our head saying that we can live eternally, or we can get rid of all the diseases from this body. One set of diseases are going, another set of new diseases are coming. One thing or the other, isn't it? So it is not possible. That is a simple thing. It is not possible. It's only an illusion in our head that things can be improved. Things can be improved. It is what they call it as a horizontal movement. Horizontal, it is everything horizontal. We are not going up. Vertical movement is not there for the Atma. Atma or the self or consciousness is going, not going up. It is get spreading everywhere. In different formats, it's trying to find a solution. So instead of standing here, we are standing there. That's only the difference. So wherever you go, it is all horizontal movement. It's not the vertical movement. When will the vertical movement is what Upanishads are talking about. Pratyek pravahi dikhi vrtihi. Vedantis will say that vertical means andarmukhatvam. Horizontal means bahirmukhatvam. Going outward is called bahirmukhatvam, which is horizontal. And going inward means vertical, andarmukhatvam. So, what we have not understood is, so far, that our life outside is only 1% of our existence. 99% of it is inside. 99% is inside. We have given up that 99% and we are chasing this 1%, what is outside. And that is the problem. And therefore, this 1%, we are painting it, we are scrubbing it, we are cleaning it, we are making it beautiful. And just like they say, somebody who is dressing up, he is combing his hair, he is putting all the perfumes and making himself beautiful. Similarly, this 1% life is like that. Is like that. And all our attention, Shraddha, is on this 1% life outside, ignoring the 99% inside. So, and all our so-called scientific development and technology and everything is all on this 1%. It's all covered in the 1%. 99% what is happening inside and is all starving there. That 99%, there is no attention given to that. So, that is where Upanishad's point is that if you study the rishis, what did they do? They made this 1% as little as possible. They didn't give any attention to the 1%. The 99% was their main concern or main attention was all inside. And it is only for that purpose, it's only for that purpose that we say this 1% is all Maya. It's all Maya. And that's what's the reason behind that. This 1% is nothing but Maya. 99% what is going on inside, it's a reflection of that is this 1% outside. 99% that's going on inside, it's a reflection of that is this 1% outside. So, that is why the first two verses Acharya has spoken is for this purpose, to take the attention away from the world, somehow or the other get us out from the world. And therefore those two verses in the Dakshinamurti Sotram, first two, is spoken about the world, Visham Darpana Drishyamana Nagari, beginning with that, and also Bijang Bijasyandarivanguro Jagaditam Prang Nirvikalpampunya. Those two verses are spoken about the world to make us aware that it is only 1%. It's nothing more than 1% what is inside the 99%. So it was not spoken to explain the world. That also we have to remember, because some people will say that otherwise what will happen is, some people say the world is real and somebody else will say it's not real, and then argue and fight each other about it. That is not the goal behind it. Ajahn Swami had no intention to create a fight in our mind about this world, because that's not the goal. Goal is not this world. Attention inside, or turn the attention inwards. For that, first, because the world is sucking our energy all the time outside, it was explained that the Maya it is, therefore, if you get involved in this world to that extent, you will never realize the truth inside. So, Upanishad Bhashyam, in the commentaries on the Upanishad, Ajahn Swami says here, that neither the Upanishads nor the Brahma Sutram or Vedantam had any interest to explain this world, what it is. It has no interest, because they are not interested, because there is nothing there to explain this. It's existing there at the moment. For Vyavaharam it's okay, but that's not the truth. That's the position. So they are not even saying whether it's been created or it's not created. It is existing or not existing. But then why do you say like that? Why do you say like this? Because you have got a curiosity in you. We have become so external looking, outward looking, and because of that we are asking all these rubbish questions also. For that there is some answer they have given, so that that curiosity gets extinguished there. And because that curiosity inside you is actually a disturbance in your spiritual life. Which one? This curious. That's why in the Bhagavatam, when they started, the first itself they spoke about creation, Sargam, third canto. When Shiva Brahmashi started talking, first thing itself he started talking about creation. Because he knows everyone who comes to spiritual life first wants to know where did all this come from. But Shiva Brahmashi didn't have any interest. And for that he brought Brahma, Narada, Vedavyas and everything, and through them spoke that these things were created first, which is not what Brahma's creation, if you read in the Bhagavatam, does not tally with Darwin's theory. Is it? It's totally different. So who is right? So and even now devotees are arguing, is Darwin correct or Brahma is right? So this argument is still going on. Even now they are writing letters about that. So, but that is not the idea. Idea is this, that the world is sucking this energy. Whatever, our only energy what we have is this Shraddha. That Shraddha is taken away by the world. And this creation is one of that thing which is causing problem to everybody. They are all asking this question, where did all this come from? That is why in every scripture, whether it's Bible or Quran, whatever it may be, there will be some explanation of the creation there. For this reason only. That it is a disturbance inside. And that disturbance is that curiosity, which is a disturbance, and therefore this explanation to that. Avivakshitaha iti srishti kramaha, mentions Upanishad. So, in order to curb or in order to extinguish that curiosity, the explanation in the creation, explanation in the about the creation. So, but because people are asking about creation so much in detail, they want to know how creation has happened. I'm sure that there are many devotees, many, many devotees, they don't believe in all this, what is written in the Bhagavatam about creation. I know that. They don't want to, it says that two-legged ones are created, four-legged ones are created, and a few animals are mentioned there in the creation as well. And they were all created in this order, like that. But they say, all these are animals that's existing in India, they are not existing in other places. Where were they created? So, you can ask hundreds and thousands of questions like this. So if you start answering all these questions, you will need another research team to do that, to answer all these questions in the creation process. Brahma created this, Brahma created that. And then they are saying, the four Kumaras are Brahma's Manasaputra, isn't it, from the mind. So how could mind, because as far as we are concerned, creation is only through man-woman, isn't it? That's how we know creation. So otherwise people ask this question, that how could from the mind you could create? How could Brahma create from the mind? Then how do you explain that? So there is so many questions about creation, and it will be endless. That endlessly it will go. But therefore people are asking, and so different kind of explanations. Oh, Brahma created from the mind, four Kumaras. And there are so many other processes mentioned also in the creation, what is spoken there. Because you are asking so many questions, so many explanations also accordingly. And lot of it when you read, after that you will say, I can't ask any more questions, you're not going to get an answer. So you will stop there. So that is called jijnyasa, autsukyam, jijnyasa in the intelligence. That's where it's coming from. And once that gets quietened, then that nischala tattvam, then what you experience, that shanti inside, once that kind of questions have gone away from inside, that is a satyam, that is truth. Because that shanti inside, what you are experiencing, is the nature of the soul, is the nature of the soul. Externally, you can give all kinds of explanations, you can give that. And none of those explanations will be true, 100% true. Because why is it like that? Because Maya is inexplicable. You can't explain Maya. This is the difficulty with Maya. Suppose somebody gives you an explanation to the creation, and when the world is continuously changing, your explanation is for that particular moment, is it not? What you are when originally the world wasn't like this. Look at the world now, we have changed a lot ourselves. And even every society, if you look, you can see how people are changing. Our outlook is changing, way of thinking is changing, our concepts about life is changing. Everything is constantly changing in this world, including matter is changing. So which creation, in which situation are you talking about creation? When did this come from? So Maya is inexplicable. It cannot be. She will not agree for your explanation. That's the point. She will not agree for your explanation about her. That is her capacity. She is so specialized in her capacity that whatever explanation you are giving, she is not going to agree with it. She will make things in such a way that will make you feel that your explanation was false. That is called Maya. That is why in those two verses he is saying Maya. This Maya doesn't exist in other religions. Other processes, they don't have Maya. So therefore everything is real for them. After you leave, they go somewhere else. That's also real, this is also real, we are also real, everything is real. But and when you take it like that, how do you explain all these things? That is why Maya is absolute necessary to explain this process. Ajari Swami says, Bijasyandari Vanguro Jagadidam, second verse. Prang Narvigalpam Punar Maya Kalpidam Deshagala Kalana Vajitra Chitri Kradam. Desham Kalam, time and space is necessary, and it is through these two agents that Maya does this business, time and space. And here again, in the fifth verse, Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpidamaha Vyamoha Samharine. She creates this Vyamoham inside all of us and make us feel that that we have found out. Every moment time we are finding out, oh, we know now, now we know what it is, we say. Now we know what it is. And Maya is such that she won't surrender to any of our logic. Our logic won't work with her. She can play with us such nicely that 50, 60 years she will make us feel that this is the truth. After 60 years somebody will do some research and come out with something else. And she will make you convinced that that is the truth. That's she. That's her nature, Maya's nature. So one interesting conversation happened about this Maya. In Maharshi's ashram, Ramana Maharshi, one devotee asked Ramana Maharshi this. He said, one devotee asked this question, a person died. Will he take birth after 2 years somewhere else? After 2 years? Will he take birth somewhere else? He asked the question.
Maharshi said, if you hear the Maharshi's answer to that question, you don't know what to say after that. What he said was, yes, he can take birth. And also, if he has taken birth, he could be some 75-year-old now. He died and he has taken birth somewhere after 2 years, but he could be 75 years now in the new place, he said. Because you got this time and space in your hands, and you are thinking that the whole Maya has to work according to time and space. But she will make those people feel that he is 75 years old there. This has happened in the Bhagavatam in so many instances, you can see here. So whatever you think with your logic of time, how will you connect to these things? He's saying like this. Then, so you can see there is a research department in the science called parapsychology. This is that about. So they are also stuck in this same problem. That whatever we are thinking in terms of time and space, it's not working in practical life. It's not happening. Say a child is born. The child is about 9 years old. Grown up and 9 years old. And that child is saying, my son is living in somewhere else. From his, the memory is passing from previous life, and he's saying, my son is living somewhere else, who is about 60, 70 years old. This 9-year-old child is saying this. And I got my grandsons there. This child, 9-year-old child is saying. And he's saying the place where they are living. And these are a few instances reported also in the paper that these scientists, parapsychologists, they want to find out, verify this. And they went there and they found out that they found out that's all true. The information, the place where he was living, somewhere in Uttar Pradesh, in Lucknow, somewhere this incident happened a few times then. So whatever the child has spoken, it was all real. The house was there, the family members were there, so many things. Everything according to the child has spoken. And their mother, everything is real. But what the problem you hear is that this child is only 9 years old, but the mother died about 4 years before. 4 years before, the mother has died. So when you look at the time span and all that, it's not able to connect to each other. Everything else what the child has spoken is true. So, so we can't understand how he is talking all these things, and they are all true as well, but when you bring the timing factor into it, it is not matching. For example, the child died somewhere, and then he got this new body in his 9 years now, but when he is telling us about all the information of the other place where he was living before in his previous life, and you start through time, if you try to connect it, it's not working. It's not able to justify. So that is why, you know what they did? First thing they said about the nature of this Maya. Maya, yukti shunya vastu prakasha samnya Maya. That is the definition of Maya. Yukti shunyam it is. If you bring time and space and try to logicize Maya, she won't bend, she won't agree with that. Yukti shunya vastu. Yukti shunya vastu prakasha samnya Maya. That's the definition. Yukti shunyam it is. You cannot logicize it based on our logic. So, you can see this Maya, how it causes problems in different ways. So, when you, especially those who study mathematics, right? Mathematics is very much on logic, isn't it? Rod, it has to be axiomatic truth, they say. Everything has to be very correct, precise, isn't it? One sannyasi said, he was not very good at maths in his school. School, he was not good at maths. So, he struggled with maths all the time. He says, only when he studied Shastram and understood about Maya, he said, I felt a big relief, he said. I felt a big relief because I realized that Maya does not agree with mathematics. so many things in this world we think it has to be like this. We do this, the result must be like this.
But that is not happening though. It's not working out like that. So only then he said, the sannyasi said, I felt a big relief inside. Because I was thinking, how daft I am, how stupid I am. He said, I cannot get this understanding of maths. But now I understood, above this maths also there is something else. He lost the faith in the mathematics, he said. That I understood that Maya can even change mathematics. Mathematical logic won't work with Maya. Maya will play time and space, she will use and play a different game altogether. So, that is why she will not bend for any logic. Any logic. That is why for the first two verses spoken about Maya. Maya. Now, what she is doing is, she is bringing so many things in front of us in the form of this world, and some of them are not logical, and it's like a magic, it is going on. But instead of seeing the magic and the Maya behind it, find out the Atma, who is the reality behind all these things. That is what in that verse it is saying. So, if you have seen the rope, then you won't see the snake anymore. If you have seen the rope, you won't see the snake anymore. So, just like in the twilight, in a light which is not very clear, at that time the rope, you are mistaking it as snake, isn't it? Similarly, in the same way, under the influence of Maya, you are seeing Paramatma as Jivatma. You are perceiving Paramatma as Jivatma. So, and similarly, that Paramatma, when he joins with the body, the mind, the intelligence, when he combines with all these things, that situation is called Ahangaram. And that's when it's called a Jiva. If there is no body, there is no mind, there is no intelligence, none of those things, then it has not joined the Asat. When it joins with them, Ahangaram comes. When we mix with these things, only then Ahangaram comes. Ahangaram comes, isn't it? When does Jiva take birth? When Ahangaram is born. That means when these two things come together, combined, the Paramatma as well as mind, body, intelligence, everything, when they come together, this unknown entity called Ahangaram or Jiva takes birth, which we talked about before. So that Ahangaram which is born in that way, or that is taking birth, what you are experiencing here, when proper knowledge comes in, you start realizing that it is not Jiva, actually it is Paramatma itself. It is Paramatma itself. Akhanda Prajna or Bodham. And it is that Prajna or Bodham is stuck inside us in the form of Jiva. And that's what we are experiencing it as Jiva. Experiencing it Jiva. So actually Jiva state is like that. It is not a real thing. Jiva is that experience. When Ahangaram is born, that's because the Paramatma is stuck in this situation with the body, mind, intelligence, but in his true form, he is above all these things. So, therefore, it mentions there that in a pot, earthen pot, which has got so many holes, inside this lamp is burning and the light is coming through these different holes. And similarly, that knowledge, what is inside us, which is the light, it comes through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue and all that thing. In experience form, it is coming out. And that is, in expanded form, is this world creation, in other words. So, the expansion of this world and all of this, what you are experiencing now, the source of all that is this awareness inside, avabhodam. Because this avabhodam or awareness, that is what has come outside through the different senses to the world and experience the world. So, source of everything is inside this avabhodam. I am here, I am that aware. So, actually, that awareness inside is nothing but the Supreme Lord. Krishna Himself is present there in that awareness, isn't it? So, the Dakshinamurti mentioned in this verse as Dakshinamurti. So, and if Dakshinamurti or Antaryami inside, if he shines properly, then you will know that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not pranan, life air, I am not ego, I am not the intelligence, none of this. But when you reject all these things, when you move away everything else, that what remains, that's also not void, that's also not void. But actually what exists at that time is pure consciousness, chaitanyam, or living force, atma. And what does that mean? It is that the nature of that atma is pure bliss. Pure bliss. Not understanding. So you can see here that when you experience that bliss of the soul, that is when you say that it is in the experience level, isn't it? Because when you are experiencing the blissful nature of the soul, then you know what we are talking about, the knowledge, what knowledge means. Because when you study Shastram, and from that whatever knowledge you have acquired, that does not bring bliss. Whereas this knowledge, or this jnanam, or awareness, when that is touched, or that is experienced, it brings in us anandam. Anandam comes along with that, because jnanam is the nature of the soul. So from that you can understand the difference between the bookish knowledge and the knowledge of the knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul, when you are experiencing, you will experience anandam with that. Bliss has to be there with knowledge. With knowledge. Whereas if you study from the books, and if you call that as knowledge, there won't be any anandam with that. Anandam won't be there. So, and they give the example also for that. You can't even measure that anandam or bliss that comes from the soul. They give this example that the a frog was born within the well, and that well was its natural native place. Within the well, it played and lived within the well. One day, one frog came from the, you know, Prabhupada mentions this story all the time. The frog from the ocean came, another frog came to this well. So the frog in the well asked the other frog, which came from the ocean, that where are you coming from? He said, I'm coming from the ocean. Oh, how big is that, this ocean? He said, oh, it's huge, he said. So then the frog shows both its hands and says, is this big or is it bigger than this? So, because in frog's mind this concept is that that's what the ocean means, isn't it? But this frog which has come from the sea, it's unable to explain the ocean or the size of the ocean to the frog in the well. So it is not possible to explain the well and explain the ocean in terms of the well, size of the well, isn't it? Ultimately, he says to this frog in the well says to him that is this, how big is that, this well? The frog in the well is asking the frog from the ocean. Finally, the frog from the ocean says that you can't compare this with the ocean. He said, this well with the ocean. And as far as so the frog in the well start getting upset. He thought that, then you show me something bigger than this well, he says here. So, but tried very hard to explain to that frog. He told the frog that look at the sky at the top. See how big the sky is. It's like that. So this frog in the well is saying, that sky is only within the ring of the well. It's not bigger than that. Because he's not able to see the sky outside. He's only seeing the sky within the ring of the well. So, similarly, from where you are looking at things, accordingly, when you are looking at from the well inside, deep down in the well, if you are looking into the sky that exists is only within that parapet wall of the well, isn't it? So that is how much as far as you are concerned, the size of the sky. Similarly, what can the other, how can you agree with that? What can you do? So the only thing what we have to do is to get that frog out from the well. Bring it out first. First you have to bring the frog outside the well. And when he comes out and he looks at the sky, he starts realizing that the sky is only not the size of the same what I thought before. It comes out like that, isn't it? So here also, in the same situation, we are in this body, right? In this body, we are thinking this is what we are, first mistake. We think we are this body, and we think we are limited to this body. See how strong that grip is on us. In our daily life, we are living in this world on that concept, isn't it? I am this body, and somehow or the other, if I can just get through this life, people say like that, isn't it? If I can earn enough money to maintain this body, or if I can just manage my family life, or if everything centered around this body, that means our understanding at the moment is that I am this body. And in that falsity, I am living in this world, isn't it? So what Shastram is saying to us is that you are lying in that, like the frog in the well. You are lying in this, in that well. And one by, you have to come out of this well first, to understand who you are. And, you know, in the well, they have different rings, isn't it? You know, every few feet, there will be a ring, and another few feet, the bricks will be there, another ring. So, these rings, when in the summer season, you will see all the rings because the water go down to the deepest level. And in the rainy season, the water will build up and it come to the probably to the topmost ring or close to the ring. So you will see how, and there is a distance between each ring, these rings with the bricks, and you will say, oh, there are five rings like that, so you can understand how much depth it is. In this ring, there is three rings. What are they? Vacant state, dream state, and deep sleep. These three things. We are trying to come out of these three rings. These three rings, and if you come out of these three rings, then what exists there is Chitagasham, the spiritual sky. That's what it exists. So it is at that time you know, when you come out of these three rings, that there is another experience level beyond these three states, which is called a Turiyam or Samadhi state. When you come to know about that, when you come out of these three rings, because you are under the three rings now. Between these three rings, we are moving, vacant dream state and deep sleep states. So when you are inside the well, you only have these three rings, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Sushupti, Swapnam, Jagrat. And in this way you are keep on moving within these rings one way or the other. Then, and ultimately after living in these three rings in this well for some time, it comes to an end with the death. Come to an end with the death. And then the whole thing begins again. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti begins again. And then we start with the nursery class. The whole thing. So, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti means it's a well. It's a rings in the well. And this is what that is. Jagrat Swapnam, and in this, as long as you are in these three rings and in this well called body, that you are limited. You can see that sometimes you are awake for some time. And then after that you will sleep. You'll go to sleep. And then you may have some dreams in that sleep. Are we doing anything else except these three in life? Beginning to end, the life is only these three. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. Nothing else, isn't it? So, so the definition of life itself is coming to these three states now. These three rings, isn't it? So, sometimes we are thinking also, in the middle of all these things. We do think sometimes. And then we will go into sleep. After thinking a lot whole day, then in the night we will go to sleep. We feel so serious about everything what we do. We say to others, oh, I've been thinking about that, we say.
and then I went to sleep. And if I, after thinking all that, if you didn't get an answer, you say you sleep over it, and then see what happens, where the answer is coming from. So like this, in this body, in these three states, thinking, and in these three states of Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam, and body, mind, intelligence, in these three different levels, we are constantly moving backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. So, and in that process, what will happen is, in the middle of all that, suddenly one day, the life is over. In the middle of all this, what is going on? One day, the life is over. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. So, first thing is that, I'm thinking this body is me. Body is me. And one by one, different things happens inside. I'm engaged in so many things, one by one, because of the our ego, abhimanam, abhimana vritti, which is called ego, which is, because of that, we go and stick to so many things. That's all based on ahankaram, isn't it? Due to ahankaram, we identify with various things, with the, not only with the body, with other false identities, like I am Indian, I am Hindu, I'm American, I am European, I'm an engineer, I am a doctor, I'm a man, any other definitions like that. These are all where our ahankaram goes and sticks to all these things. Is it not? All this is there because of the ahankaram inside. So ahankaram sticking to different things is what that is. So so all that is, Acharya mentions here, is that deham pranam abhi indriyan abhijalam buddhim jashunyam vida stri bala andha jadam upamas astuhamidi bhrantha brisham vadina. Fifth verse. Maya shakti vilasam kalpita maha vyamoha samharine. So deham pranam abhi indriyani abhijalam buddhi jashunyam vida. Stri, bala, andha, jadam, upamastu, hamidi, bhranda, brisham, vadinam. That is all madness to think that I am any one of this. That stri, bala, andha, jada, upamasma, astum, ahamidi. I am that, I am this, I am that, all that. All those things have to go from inside. Go from inside. So, because... because when you think you are the body, the problem is this. When you think you are the body, all your Shraddha is in the body. When you think you are the body, all your Shraddha is in the body. Is in the body. And that is when you are interested in developing the body, looking after the body. Isn't it? Looking after the body, all these things comes from that. When you think you are the body. So, when it is like that, maintaining the body, looking after the body, and in that way, somebody is somebody thinks that that is the goal of life, maintaining this body, looking after this body, and thinking that I am this body. If you live like that in this world, how is that? What will be that situation? Imagine that a person tried to cross a river. So suddenly he saw, to cross the river, he couldn't swim all that to the other side. He saw a log of wood floating in the water. He caught hold of that log of wood. And then he started swimming, thinking that I'll get over to the other side of the river, holding on to this log of wood.
After swimming a short while, he realized that it is not a log of wood, it was a crocodile. He realized it. And that's our situation with this body. We are thinking that we will reach extreme happiness with this body. And we are doing everything with this body, fixing this, fixing that, trying to maintain it the best possible way we can. And so it is compared like that. That you are holding on to a crocodile, thinking that it is a log of wood, and you have holding on to that and trying. After a while only you realize that it is a crocodile. This body is like that. Whole life we are trying to maintain it, looking after it, and finally, like a crocodile, it's going to catch you. Isn't it? It turns against us, and it turns its head and turns it until, oh, now I can eat you completely. Like the crocodile does. Up to that time I didn't realize that it's a crocodile. But it is a crocodile. This body is like a crocodile, it will behave one day. When it starts giving trouble only, then you will realize it. Earlier, little things, you won't bother so much. You will fix this and fix that with painkillers and all the other things what we have got in the, you know, all the big pharmacies have stocked up nicely and kept in the bottles there. You can use all that. But a day will come, none of them will work. And you will be lying there. And one after the other, everybody will write you off, like the Gajendra story. So at that time you will realize the crocodile has done it at the end. And that time you want to get out of this place, this crocodile, which is this body. You want to get out from this because you had enough by then. Is it not? Is that not everybody's life at the end? All of us, if you think about it, that is the end. End is not very auspicious. We have to know that in the beginning. Because it's good to know that in the beginning, that end is not going to be very auspicious. That it will go like this for a while, and then eventually, little by little, it will start its true colors showing to us. And finally, you will see that it is like that. Sharira poshanarthivan. So, like a crocodile, you thought it is a log of wood, and you are holding on to that, and you are trying to cross over the river. Similarly, if you keep on holding on to this body, and if you stay like that in this world, when the body die, one day, you will also die. You will also die. You feel that you are dead when the body dies. Because the reason for that is, when the body gets sick, you will get distressed. Isn't it? And when the body gets offended or insulted, you will feel the pain. And similarly, anything what happens in relationship with the body, everything will affect you. That is the nature of that. Anything that happens in relationship with the body will affect you. You can't escape from that. And same thing with prana also. Same thing. And in every one of these, body, mind, intelligence, senses, they're all bottlenecks. You will get somewhere stuck in one of those necks, one of those places. See, for example, if you have performed pranayama a lot, and thinking that through pranayama I will reach the destination, but if anything happens, and if by chance the pranan moves, everything will move in the body. And when pranan becomes completely silent, then everything will become silent. For example, in the yogis, what they do, they control the pranan. Pranayama is that. They control the pranan and they reach the samadhi state in that way. And in that state, they can stay like that for many years without any vyavaharam in the world, in that yoga state. Because they have complete control. Puirakam, Rechakam, Kumpakam mentions in the Bhagavatam. Krishna himself talks about that when he talked about Aishwarya Siddhis at that time. What you can do with pranan, by controlling the pranan, what is possible, is spoken there. In samadhi state you can sit like that for months together, like this polar bear, you know, you will see in the Discovery Channel, they show that in that North Pole and or in the South Pole, wherever such icy conditions, these bears can lie underneath that snow for months together, for polar bears. And then they wake up and then they come out in the when the sun comes or when the winter season goes away. So similarly, our yogis also, through this process of pranayama, like the polar bear, they can go sit in that samadhi state for 6 months, 1 year, like that. So what we are saying is that experience also pranan level it is, and that is also another plane it is, like bodily plane, it's a pranan, another plane that is. And similarly, mental plane, for example, if you have performed a lot of sadhana in life, what will happen is, it will improve your mental conditions, and you will be in the plane of mind. So you can be in the bodily plane, you can be in the plane of the pranam, or you can be in the plane of the mind, So, then in the plane of senses, for example, if your eyes are not functioning, eyes have gone, lost its vision, then you will say, I am blind. Suppose you are deaf, your ears are not working, you say you are deaf, isn't it? So at that time, what's happening to us is, you are in the platform of the senses. Because your identification is with the senses. So it's all identification at the end. When you identify with the body and thinking that I am the body, and you are working for that body, maintaining that body, all the happiness and distress of the body will affect you. When you think you are the mind, and through various sadhana and upasana and all that, you have come to a platform of the mind, and when you are in that mental platform, all what is happening there in the happiness and distress in this world will affect your mind. Similarly, if you are thinking that you are pranan, and you have perfected the movement of the pranan in the body, and like the polar bear, you have managed to move into the platform of the pranan, which is the Ashtanga Yoga process, you will be able to stay there for some time. But if by any chance the pranan makes a move, you will also feel the effect. It will come back. And equally, if you feel that you are deaf or blind, or suppose any of your five senses is giving you a lot of trouble or causing any problems or not functioning even, then all your attention will be in the senses. That's why deaf people and blind people, all of them, they have more sensory perception than others because of this. Because there is one of their senses are not functioning, so the possibility of them becoming more closer to the sensory field is much more than others. It's a difficult thing, because shunyam shunyasta buddhihi, then this is not ours. None of them is ours. Sensual platform, mental platform, or pranas platform, or intelligence platform. All these things, is none of this is ours, because they are all prakriti. Prakriti has come and built it in such a way in us, with different things. Prakriti created intelligence. Prakriti created the mind. Prakriti created the senses. Prakriti created the prana. Everything prakriti gave us. So because of that, prakriti put that in us, and we are conducting our business with all those things. And when prakriti decides, she will take it back, all these things. When she wants it, she will take them back. So, and that prakriti is telling us also, look, none of this is yours. Body is not yours. And that is, how does she talk to us? Through the diseases. When she gives us a disease, she is telling us, look, it's mine. I'm doing what I want with it. Our body. It's not your body. It's mine. I've given it to you. Similarly with the mind, we have no control over it. She comes and does something, and you start getting completely lost in that. Isn't it? Disturbed over it. So every time, prakriti is sending, all the time is telling us, vyadhi or diseases is a pointer to us, look, in you, you don't have any of these things. You are pure consciousness, isn't it? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That's all we are, awareness, consciousness. All other things has come and gone, and it will come and go. So, just like they give this example, suppose you had a house to rent it out. You have rented it to somebody, rented your house to somebody. The owner of the house, this is in India, it may not be here, right? In India, what they do is that if you are not paid the rent and you are not willing to move out, he will cut your gas, electricity and all that. Isn't it? Sometimes it happens here also. We will see. They will cut off your gas, electricity, water, everything. They will disconnect to make your life miserable so that you will take things and go. Because sometimes it's difficult with the tenant, isn't it? Tenants won't leave the place, and then you have to go to the court. Court procedure, if you get in India, it's for life. It's like a job. As Prabhupada used to say, this one thing, you should be so careful not to get involved in court cases, he said. Because you can see how it drags on. This court, that court, another court, ever another court, keep moving from one court to another. You keep a lot of people on the job because, and you keep paying for all that. It never ends. From the lowest court to the highest court, and after the highest court, again it will not finish. It will go back. It will go back. You can see how that system is going on like this. Somebody has been condemned to be executed. Who was involved in that? Mumbai. It's in the news. They have decided everything. All the courts agreed. Supreme Court also decided. Then the President also agreed. President, because he's the last one where you can ask for clemency. You say to him, Daya Harji they call it, isn't it? For compassionate grounds you ask for it. If he gives it to you, then fine, you can escape. You may not be hung. You may not be executed. But President also says, yes, you have to be, I'm not going to show any mercy because you were behind that. So he has decided this, that he was behind the all that. So he has also decided. Then he is putting another application to the court. So again they have decided, no, we have to discuss this again. So whole process starts again. And poor man, if after all this he gets executed, 30th of July or something, they have decided to execute him. Till then, will he sleep? Because on 30th he is going to be executed as far as the decision is concerned. So like this, you can see in the same way here, that finally when you cut all the gas, electricity, water, everything, that tenant will say, then why you have cut all this? Then the landlord will say, in a silent language you are talking to him. You are saying to him, if you don't like, you can leave, he will say. So similarly, material nature or prakriti is telling us, you have come and sat in this body, which is mine. We are the tenant here. We are not the owner. We are not the owner occupier. We are the tenant here. And when you start taking control of this body and said, it's my body, and when you get too much into it, that taking the ownership of this body, one day she says to you, look, you leave now. Go. And in order to teach this to us to leave, she's cutting the gas, electricity, water, everything by giving these diseases to the body. That's what she's doing. When she's giving different diseases, always to make us aware that it's not yours. It's not ours. That awareness. And that comes in the form of diseases, adhi, vyadhi, and all other kinds of problems in life. And finally, she evicts us, which is called a death. She evicts us, which is called death. So this is what he is saying here. So all these things are, if you give attention, you can see, it is all in the hands of prakriti. Prakriti, the body, pranan, life air, everything. you can see this yourself. It's there in the Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna is saying that what control do we have on pranan? Our own pranan, isn't it? Because are we breathing based on our planning? It is going on without our knowledge, isn't it? Pranan is working inside. And that process is working. Some power inside us is keeping that system going of breathing. Is it not? Some power inside is keeping that system going. We are not even conscious of that. You don't need any better proof to tell us that the body is not ours. That is more than enough. Isn't it? That this breathing, we have no control over it. When there is a problem, we will try something to solve. But apart from that, how much control do we have about breathing? Nothing. Similarly, same thing about digestion. So many things like that. So, na pranena, na abanena, martyo jivadi kaschana, idaretu jivadi yasvinyeda ubashrudena. Kathopanishad, if you take, you will see there these verses that Yamadharmaraja is saying to Nachiketas that you haven't got any control over any of these things. Na pranena na apanena martyo jivati kaschana idare chatu jivani yasmin yeta upashudena. What's that verse now? We'll find that later. Chapter 2. Na pranena na panena martyo jivati kaschana idarena du jivandi yasmin naidam upashritau. Na pranena na apanena martyo jivati kaschana idarena du jivandi yasmin naidam upashritau. He says that nobody lives here due to pranan or apanan. Pranan is one which is the five kinds of air in the body, isn't it? So pranan is circulating in the face. Apanan is the vayu that takes away everything from inside, apana vayu. All the excretion happens because of that vayu, apanan. Then samanan is the one which is balancing in the whole body, equals everywhere, equal distribution, samanan. Pranan, apanan, samanan, vyanan, udanan. So five different airs in the body which functions there. So pranan or apanan is not the one which keeps this body going, but all live by something else due to which these two find asylum. These two, pranan and apanan, they are taking asylum, or they are maintained by the presence of Andaryami inside. That's what he's saying. Thanks. So not that you throw pranayapan and we are living here. That's also come from the material nature. So yasmin yeda pranan is also belongs to prakriti, material nature. Senses are controlled by the material nature. Intelligence is controlled by the material nature. That is why sometimes you can see you can't remember things. Why is that? If it was yours, you should be able to use it. Isn't it? Is that not interesting? That sometimes you say, oh, I can't remember that. Why is that you can't remember? If it was yours, you should be able to remember. But it's not yours. That's why you can't remember. So, sometimes we forget our own name. That it happens when the dementia comes. You can even forget your own identity, isn't it? So, and similarly, when you get certain diseases like that, dementia and all that, you won't remember anything. You won't remember your name. You won't remember where you belong to, your house, where the house is. You won't remember whether you have bathed or not, you have taken bath or not. You won't remember whether you are wearing clothes or not. To that extent, these diseases are causing problems. You know that, isn't it? You don't even know that you are wearing clothes or not. And you also don't know that you have eaten or not. That's why for dementia patients, sometimes if you look into their leaflets, you will see that if the patient don't remember, you still have to feed them somehow to eat. Otherwise, they won't remember to eat to that extent. Yeah. So what does that indicate? It is indicating that it's not in your hands. Somebody else is controlling that. If it was yours, you should be able to remember. But it's not. It is not so. So sometimes, due to prarabdham, your intelligence will go. This intelligence will go. For example, Palpavada, who was one of the disciples of Acharya, he had a problem like this. And somebody gave him, while in the preaching mission at that time, what preaching means, spreading the knowledge of the Vedantam, when they were spreading that, at that time, somebody gave some medicine, some plant extraction, they mixed with some medicine like herb, they created that, and they gave it to him, to make him crazy. Padmavada was a very famous disciple. How he got this name was, on the banks of the river, Ganga River, on one side Acharya was standing, on the opposite side Padmavada was standing. That was not his name. So he had tremendous bhakti towards Acharya. Tremendous bhakti. So one day, after bathing the river, Padmavada was drying the clothes of Acharya on the other side. When Acharya finished his bathing, he told Padmavada from one side of the river bank to the other side, telling him to bring the clothes. And the river was full. So Padmavada was thinking how to cross the river. But his bhakti was such, his faith in the words of the Acharya was such, he didn't even think about the river. He started walking from the opposite side of the river to this side. When he started walking, a lotus flower came up at every step underneath his feet. And that is how he got that name, Padmavada. He got his name, Padmavada, in that way. So Padmavada, and he was the closest disciple at that time, with Acharya. And so somebody tried to poison him by giving this, you know, this kind of, there is a fruit which I don't know the English name. If you eat that, you will go crazy. There's so many things like that, plants with all these potencies like that. So they gave this to him. They ground it and gave it in milk or yogurt, something to him to drink. He drank it and eventually got crazy. He went crazy. Like you can see with this mad cow disease and all that, how you go completely out of thing, isn't it? So he goes to Acharya in this crazy state. So Acharya told him, nothing to worry. Problem is in the intelligence, isn't it? It's not in the self. That's how clear they were. He says to him, even though this crazy situation exists in intelligence, you don't have to worry. because your realization inside will not be touched by even that. That's how clear they were. Because whatever that happens is either happens in the body or in the mind or in the intelligence, so what? None of them is with me. I'm not going to have any of these things. And he told him that that is a prarabdham that will come, and when the effect of that medicine is gone, you will come back to the normal also. So Acharya told him that it may come back, okay, it may not, but doesn't matter. This disease is not going to affect, just like dementia, Alzheimer's and all that. It has nothing to do with the self. It's all in the mind and the brain and memory and everything. Nothing to do with the self. So what a big relief that is when you know that. Is it not? When you don't know that, everybody is feeling sorry for you. Oh, this has come to you, what am I supposed to do? There is no cure. And you, people ask this question, when you die with a dementia, what will happen to that person? The devotees ask this question. In dementia or in Alzheimer's disease, when you have that, that time you are not conscious of anything. We are all chanting from outside so that he can go back home back to Godhead. That person is not in this. He doesn't remember anything. He doesn't remember the holy name. He doesn't remember anything. But what will happen? What will be his destination? But if he has realized the truth, and if he has that firm concept inside, even what is happening with the intelligence and the mind will not be a problem at the time of death. That is why Krishna is saying, realize it now, not after death. All your problems are solved with that, including dementia, Alzheimer. If you realize the truth now, remember that last verse in the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. What did he say? This is the reason why he is saying that. When Krishna is saying something, it's absolute. Absolute. That problem is solved once for all. He is saying in that second chapter, the last, Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha. Right now you have to realize it, not later. Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyadi Sthitvasyam Andhakalevi Brahma Nirvanam Rachadi. He says here, that's the way of the spiritual life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. You can't be bewildered after that because you have realized the truth. If you realize it now, if one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Sthitvasyam andhakalevi brahma nirvanam rachati. He is finished with her repeated cycle of birth and death. Cycle is over for him. So, what you have to remember here, that all the problems in the body, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, everything belongs to Prakriti. It's not yours. It's not yours. Because we are identifying with it, we are suffering from that. Otherwise, there is no misery in this material world. So that is what happened to Padmavada. Padmavada was given this medicine, and I don't know how long it lasted. In the Shankara Vijayam book, you will read all these things, mentions there. He's saying there that Padmavada actually, it is due to Padmavada that Acharya Swamiji was protected at one instance. When the Kapaligas tried to kill him, Narasimha Murthy appeared, because this Padmavada, prior he met Shankaracharya, he was a devotee of Narasimha Murthy. He chanted Narasimha Mantram to such a perfection that Narasimha Murthy gave him this benediction, any time when you want, call me, I will be there. Kapaligas tried to kill Acharya. At that time, Padmavada prayed to Narasimha. Narasimha appeared at that moment. It's well known. And that is the time when Lakshmi Narasimha Karavalamba Stotram was written. In Madhya Pradesh, this happened. Lakshmi Narasimha Karavalamba Stotram. It's a famous stotram like Jagannath Ashtagam. That was written at that time. Narasimha Murthy, please sing Narasimha Murthy. Famous prayers. In all Narasimha temples, you sing that song. Narasimha Murthy, Lakshmi Narasimha Stotram. So, you can see here that buddhi, body, pranam, all these things, I am not them. And in the plan, in the level of intelligence, sometimes I may fail. Because it's not mine, what can I do? It is Prakriti's, isn't it? So, and also on an intellectual level, I'm not able to understand something. Certain things when you try to understand, some people say, I've understood. Another person says, I've not understood. So, my intelligence is not, what Prakriti has given to me, is not that good that I'm not able to understand some things. But understanding, not understanding has nothing to do with the soul. Soul is totally independent of all these things. Antaryami inside. Similarly, some people can remember a lot of things. I can't remember everything. Why? Because Prakriti has not given me that strong memory. What can I do? Somebody has been given a very strong memory, isn't it? And some people say that they can study certain things very well and understand everything. And somebody else says that I can't understand or I can't study everything and remember everything. So whether you have studied, whether you have understood, whether you have memorized everything, and whether you have able to think about it and analyze it, no matter what it is, it does not matter. Spiritual life, it does not matter. It does not matter because that is all in the platform of body, mind, intelligence, senses, in that level. It's all in that level, isn't it? So, and therefore, if you take out all these things, then you may say there is nothing after that. No, that is not true. Because if you say there is an emptiness, vacuum, shunyam, as they call it as, what it means is that shunyam means you sleep at night, and in that deep sleep state, what you are experiencing, that experience at that time, that's also not you. That's also not you. Because sleep also comes and goes. You see, where the difference between Alpa and the rest of it? In Alpa, there is no coming and going. In body, there is coming and going. Mind, there is coming and going. Intelligence, there is coming and going. Senses, there is coming and going. And even in the sleep, deep sleep, there is coming and going. But in the self, there is no coming and going. That is the clear demarcation there. So, in all these different platforms, when you are situated, that is me, I am the awareness, consciousness, remains without, untouched by any of these things. And in that sushupti state, or deep sleep state, when you are in deep sleep, when the body is not there, mind is not there, intelligence is not there, and personality is also not there, ahankaram is also not there, even then it is there. Even then, that is there. Oh, this awareness is not there. Awareness is there. Even when all other things, that is the way to understand, because you can see that all the other things has been supplied by Prakriti in us. And Prakriti every day showing to us, taking it away from us and giving it back to us in the morning. And one day, once for all, she takes away everything, never gives it back. That's all. So from this you can understand that what we have got is only that awareness, nothing else. Pure consciousness, nothing else we have. Everything else is given and it will be taken back. So I think we'll stop there, we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.